Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Dadon Tolbert Show. I'm your host, Dadon Tolbert. It's Keeping It Real Fridays tonight, guys. You know, over the years, we've had some all-time classic Keeping It Real Fridays. In fact, some of the best shows, some of the deepest shows, the most in-depth shows have come on a Friday night, and you know, which is one of the reasons why I wanted to come back live on this evening to talk about something that everybody can relate to. I mean, we're talking about this evening the goodbye game, okay? Many of you guys may remember, I want to say somewhere around 2010, 2011, don't quote me, Gerald and I did an all-time classic show on that title. That was part one. Tonight is part two, where we analyzed Chrisette Michele's all-time classic song, in my opinion, The Goodbye Game. And, you know, if we look around us, we see a lot of that. You know, we see when you look at, you know, statistics like, unfortunately, HIV, you know, single moms, abortions, you know, deadbeat dads, you know, child support. You know, there's a lot of that going on. There's a lot of on and off again. There's a lot of make up to break up. So tonight we want to really take an in-depth look at, you know, why that happens. You know, really, I'm talking about the real reasons why we see so much of the goodbye game, meaning, you know, the breakup, but not really saying goodbye, you know, for real, you know, coming back and, you know, breaking up. And we just want to really try to break that cycle tonight for many women who are torn, who find themselves, you know, in a toxic, what seems to be a never-ending situation. So definitely, you know, Friday nights are always good for, you know, people calling in and questions and stories. And over the last 10 or so years, that's what we've been known here for on the Dadon Tolbert Show. It's just a realness. And so I know for a fact it's something everybody can relate to. I know Courtney, you know, has some stories to share, as well as the goodbye game. You know, I myself have been an enabler of the, you know, goodbye game for many women. You know what I'm saying? Just being honest. So we'll talk about it from both perspectives tonight. You guys are welcome to call in with any types of questions or thoughts or feedback or anything that might be on your mind tonight. 646-200-0366. Hit the number one on your keypads, and we're going to have some fun tonight. Courtney is with me this evening. Courtney, what's going on with you?
Hey, what's up?
What do you know about the goodbye game, Courtney? Anything?
I know everything. I know everything about that.
Okay. Well, you know, we're going to talk about it. I know you weren't really a part of the first episode, you know, the first edition of this, but I think 3 years is long enough to wait for a sequel, you know, for a remake, a reboot, you know, of this topic. We're going to play the actual song a little bit later on tonight, so you guys can, you know, hear what really is one of my all-time favorite songs. I mean, just from a musical standpoint. I mean, I think Chrisette Michele has a excellent voice. This song is it's just a classic song, you know, with a very deep and empowering meaning and message to it. So definitely want to analyze it like we've been known to do with many songs over the years. Still getting people, you know, hit me up about last week's show on DMX. I mean, that's honestly, I'm not sure if I've ever had so much feedback or, you know, notes or different things, you know, that's even come up in my private counseling sessions about one particular show. It was a show that really threw people a curveball, you know, the show on, you know, just dealing with a thug and you know, and in regards to tonight's show, like, I think a lot of times people can, you know, relate. You know, often, you know, you find yourself playing the goodbye game with men who have embraced that type of mentality, that thug mentality, that, you know, that I'm just going to use you, I'm going to do me type of way of thinking that many men embrace in today's society. Courtney, is that, you know, it's interesting, an interesting correlation there. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would. Yeah.
Yeah, so you say that as if you've dealt with a thug. I thought you didn't deal with thugs. I thought you liked the good guys, the godly men, the church guys, you know?
No, I wouldn't say. I mean, now I do, but for the longest, no, I like some of those rocks. I used to. I like that because it just made me feel like I could be protected. So it was a turn on at one point. So yeah, I was attracted to thugs.
Yeah, so everybody, if you missed that particular show, you know, that's not one you want to miss. You know, really none of them are, but definitely I would say check out the archives of that. You know, the weekends are always a good time for, you know, playing catch up and you know, catching up on some shows you may have missed out on. A couple of announcements real quick. I announced, what was it, whatever the last time we were live was, I mentioned The Wait Is Over. You guys can finally look forward to the release of my new book, How to Win the Heart of an Elite Man in 365 Days or Less. Definitely want to talk about that, you know, a little bit, just because a lot of times, you know, there was, and we'll talk about this. There was a debate, you know, a post in the group the other day that I happened to catch. Just pertaining to paying for the first date. And, you know, it's just, you know, and we'll, you know, like I said, we'll discuss that. I mentioned, you know, in the thread that we'll, you know, I'll touch on that for you guys tonight. But, you know, the point of the book, the whole reason I'm coming back out with a manual, with a book, you know, a blueprint, in fact, you know, if you will, on really how to be found, how to, you know, position yourselves to live the type of life that you want to live, attract that man that God has for you. You know, because situations like this, like a lot of women who listen to the show, you know, they may see certain Facebook things and they say, okay, I like that, that's good advice, so I'm going to incorporate that, but they take certain things but not really, you know, they're doing it out of context and they're not having the results that they're hoping for. And, you know, we can just get into it real quick. Courtney, were you aware of the thread in the Friends of the Dayton Tolbert Show group where the young woman was a little bit discouraged about, I guess she paid for the first date, but unfortunately had a bad result?
Yeah, I saw that. That's funny that we're talking about that because I had the same experience at one point.
What happened? Tell us what happened.
Yeah, this was like, I don't know, a couple of years ago, and I was listening to you and Gerald talk about that, about paying on the first date. So I said, you know what, I'm going to do that. I'm going to pay for the first date, and, you know, everything's going to turn out great. But what I failed to incorporate was, one, you know, I wasn't dealing with the right guy, and then, two, being emotionally unavailable, I was just, it wasn't going to work out anyway, but I wasn't looking at it that way. I was just thinking, well, if you pay, everything's going to work out. You're going to live happily ever after. So it turned out to be a disaster. I ended up paying for it. And then after that, he wound up ignoring me and just really playing me. And he left me, like, wanting more from him. So I found myself, like, calling him, and I just continued to call him just because I wanted his attention. And it just didn't work out in my favor. But it makes sense now.
Yeah, and it, hopefully just from listening to the show and, you know, you guys getting a better understanding of, you know, why certain things happen, why men do the things they do, you really got to look at the big picture. You have to, you know, connect all the dots, put all the pieces together. You don't want to just pick and choose what advice you take and what advice you don't. Paying for the first date can be a great idea, like it was, you know, with my wife, you know, when we first started dating, and it can have, you know, a really positive result. But if you, one, are living life in, unfortunately, for whatever reason, an emotionally unavailable state, you know, there is some unresolved issues out there that you're struggling with. You know, you're single, but you do want life. You say, okay, I'm going to try this. But deep down, you know that there's, you know, some things going on. You know there's some people still reaching out to you. You know there's some things that you haven't quite fully healed from. Well, you know, that's, as you guys know, that's going to cause you to attract the liars, the dogs, the cheaters, and the players. So if you're, you know, you have, your mind is in the right place, you're looking for love, you want love, and you're trying to be the best possible woman, but unfortunately because of unresolved issues, you're attracting the liars, the dogs, and cheaters, and the players. You don't want to be paying for the first date. In fact, you don't even want to be on any dates. You actually want to be doing some private counseling. You definitely want to start, you know, self-reflecting on yourself to see, hey, look, what do I need to do? Because you can pay for as many dates as you want. All that's going to do is decrease the available balance in your bank account, you know, and it's going to cause that man to do what players do, to do what dogs do, and target you for whatever it is, whether it's sex, whether it's, you know, some type of financial situation, you know. And so here's the thing. And let me just tell it to you like this. And I'll reiterate for 2014 because it's not, you know, we've been talking about it for 10 years here. You know, we'll continue to talk about it because it's so important, the importance of differentiating yourself. That's something that so many women, and let me just say, I think it's great that, you know, that the young woman who posted about it is even in that, you know, thought process, you know, because there's so many women who, you know, really unfortunately wouldn't even do that. And when I say women, I mean so many black women, because the reality is most black women have been brought up in a manner that suggests, hey, look, you know what, I have to do for me. I have to protect myself. I have to guard myself. You know, my dad wasn't this. These guys out here weren't that. And so I'm not going to do this unless he does this. And so that's not the right mentality that's going to be conducive to having a long-term relationship, having someone look at you as a wife. What you want to do, ladies, when you are in the best possible state, emotionally available 100%, what's going to happen is you're going to attract a man in the ready-to-settle-down stage, a man looking for a wife. And so when a man is looking for a wife and when he's looking at you as being that potential wife, what you want to do is say, how can I differentiate myself from these multiple other women, you know, not just in general, but today, on this date? What are some things that I can do to really wow him, so to speak? What's going to help me make that type of impression that makes him say, this is the one, or she's different from any other, or 99.9% of other, you know, women that I've gone out on dates with? You know, it's not too many other things on that first date that can leave that type of impression on the best possible man. So again, when you're dealing with the best possible man, and I reiterate, that must be the case, you know, then you're, you know, when you do certain things that really say, wow, I'm special, wow, I'm not selfish, wow, if we took this thing to another level, it wouldn't be all about you paying for me. This would be like a partnership. This would be something that I'm passionate about, just like you're passionate about. It would be a give and a take, you know. And so those are the types of women that men are looking for. So it really gets to a point where you have to say, where you have to get him thinking, like, wow, I could see myself with her. If you're dating somebody, understand this, and you can't really think of anything that you've done that's significant or that's special or that would significantly differentiate yourself from other women, then chances are you're not being viewed as special. A lot of women have been brought up in the dating world to think that it's the man that has to prove themselves to the woman, when in reality that is ludicrous, because that's like the recruiter trying to prove themselves to the job applicant. That doesn't make any sense. The Bible says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. I'm like, okay, well, that's great, but what have you done to show yourself to be that good thing? What have you done to make me say, wow, God, thank you, I have achieved your favor by finding this woman? If the answer to that question is nothing, it would be crazy for you to think that he's going to stop dating all these other women, that he's going to put everything else on hold and focus on you. I mean, he'll do that if and only if and when you show him something special. So, you know, and that's my whole little spiel for 2014. Hopefully, you know, women get it. But again, all the pieces have to be there. If you're dating, you know, Bobby Ray from 21st Street, you know, oh, yeah, let's pay for the first date. That's not going to do anything. It's just going to waste your money. You know, any thoughts on that particular situation, Courtney?
I mean, I just want to say I agree 100% just about, like, the last – well, everything, but specifically the last thing you said about all the pieces having to be together. You know, we really have to do that self-reflection. And first, just really make sure that we're even ready to be dating instead of, you know, viewing us paying for the first date as if it's some magic trick that just works all the time. No, I mean, that's not how it works. But like you said, I am happy that she is in that mindset. And I hope that doesn't deter her just in the future, that when she does become emotionally available, you know, I don't want that to prevent her from doing that again, you know.
Right. I think she says something like, you know, I'm never doing this again because, you know, it's stupid, it doesn't work. And, I mean, and that happens. And let me just on a deeper level, you really got to look at things, ladies. You know, when you're dealing with a man on any level at any time, you really got to look at it from a spiritual standpoint, from a divine viewpoint, and you really got to look at the fact that it's either going to be the type of man who is sent from God to love you or the type of man who is going to be sent from the enemy to destroy you. It's literally one of the two. You know, I mean, and if you really look over the course of your life historically, you know, what category was he in? I'm pretty sure 99.9% of the time, in retrospect, you'll say, yeah, it was a man sent from the enemy to destroy me and to significantly, limit the opportunity for me to be found by the man that God has for you. You know, just a hindrance, some form of roadblock. And sometimes you guys see a roadblock and you go around it and you keep it moving. Other times you decide just to sit in traffic for 2 years, for 3 years, you know, for 5 years, 10 years, whatever it is. And that's what it's just about, not wasting time, which is really what we're here talking about tonight as far as the goodbye game. You know, how do you recognize early on that, one, someone is not that guy who is sent from God to love you? And then once you recognize it, that's the key thing, is walking away. You know, I mean, I think we can say it's, you know, in most cases, when you are spiritually mature enough to ask God for guidance and hear his voice and see it, you know, for what it is, what is it, Courtney, as a woman, that once you even see it for what it is, but, you know, keeps you still there?
I would say the sex, when you are intimate with someone, that will keep you. And the devil, you know, speaking to you, will keep you in that situation with that man, even though you know the truth.
Right. Yeah. I mean, definitely. I mean, why, you just went straight for the jugular, huh? You said, oh, this sex.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
You ain't saying fear of being alone, you know, fear of starting over, you know, financial.
Oh,
No, it is what it is. No, that's real. I mean, honestly, that's 90% of the time what it is. Because there's going to be a fear of being alone. Yeah, there are going to be, in many cases, financial issues that may, you know, hinder the detachment process. But, you know, you're usually 99.9% of the time talking about a sexual situation. You know, I mean, this Keeping It Real Fridays, right? I mean, we got to be honest. You know, ladies, we're not going to be playing the goodbye game without, you know, with somebody that's not smashing it, you know, who's not, you know, who you're not letting hit it raw. I mean, let's just, you know, let's be honest here, guys. You know, I mean, he can't be but so bad. It's like, oh, that nigga, you know, he this and that. He ain't worth it. Okay, well, yeah, but then why did you just let him smash? Why are you letting him ejaculate all, you know what I mean? Like, that's, you got to stop that. I mean, at some point, you can't, you know, bash him on Facebook. You can't update your status about him. But then when he hits you up, you know, I shouldn't be seeing the Sunday morning post before I'm getting ready for church saying, just be honest. Honesty is the best policy. You know, mad as crap. You know what I mean? Sunday morning status is based off of what happened on Saturday night. No, that's time when you should be praising God. You know, you should be thanking. You should be getting ready for church. You should be updating your status, talking about, you know, I'm here at so-and-so deliverance, whatever. You know, but instead, you're in a funk, which, again, goes back to what the enemy wants for you. You know, he wants you pissed off Sunday morning. He wants you second-guessing God's confirmation to that prayer. Because I've done a lot of sessions over the years, and every time women reach out to me for guidance or some type of advice or counseling, they'll, you know, I ask them, I say, well, look, you got to ask yourself definitively, is this the man that God has for you? And every single time, there's never been a time, I shouldn't say that. Well, usually most women will say, well, if I'm honest, no, he's not. He's not the man that God has for me. But in many cases, the woman will, you know, they will be so, in many cases, delusional and have brainwashed themselves into thinking, yes, on the phone with me asking for counseling about this guy, but yet still thinking that this is the man that God has for you. I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous. It will never, that's never going to be the case. You will never be in, honestly, and this is, you know, this may be kind of, you know, somewhat controversial. Some people may not even agree with this, but what you got to realize is usually when you even have to be in counseling, you know, for, I'm talking about relationship counseling, you know, to deal with some type of issue. I mean, usually, you know, that's not the man that God has for you. I mean, can we be honest with that? It's like, oh, y'all pissed off. I mean, the ladies will even hit me up like, yeah, I want to set up a session. I'm like, okay, is this for you? Well, no, it's not for me. It's for him. I'm like, what do you mean? So you want to do counseling? You mean like a couple's counseling? Well, no, can you just call him? Because he needs to tell you, he needs to see, he hear your show, and he needs to see your Facebook, because he needs something. That nigga ain't treating me right. Can you just call him? I said, no, I can't call him, but my question would be, why are you dealing with him? You know, like, why are you having a baby by him? You know, why are you, after this phone call, still going to sleep with him? I mean, I'm just saying, like, Courtney, what are the answers to these questions?
Oh, wow. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, it just shows how, I shouldn't say crazy, I don't want to use that word, but, I mean, it's real, because it just shows how much the, you know, a man can have a hold over a woman to the point where, you know, she doesn't want to let go. She does not want to let go. She wants to blame everyone else, take a look within. She doesn't want to look within. It's like she wants to come up with excuses to not let him go.
Right. And a lot of times what also happens is women will, they will want some type, they will say, you know, I'm keeping that hope alive. You know, I am hoping that he will change. You know, I just thought that maybe he could change. I mean, Dadon, does God ever change people? See, and we talked about this when we talked about our player stage show, classic show. Yes, people change. But unfortunately, guys, no one, it's not about him changing. It's about how he views you and how he will always view you. Just because someone may, their actions may change, that doesn't change the respect level that they have for you, and it doesn't change what they ultimately want from you and for their, even for their future. You know, and I really want to encourage all women listening, to say, you know what, I don't care what he wants. I don't care if he changes or not. It's, I want what's best for me in my life. You see, it's like, and I use this analogy in my counseling a lot of times. Many people will probably, you know, remember this if you guys have worked with me privately, but you could have a 1987 Chevy. You know, you can change the motor. You can change the rotors, put some new brakes on there, put a new transmission in there. You know, you can change a lot of different stuff on a 1987 Chevy. And guess what? It still may run. It probably will run if you change everything on it. But the reality is, it's still a 1987 Chevy. I mean, there's nothing you can do to change that. You can change it if you want to, but it's still going to be the Chevy. So the question is, do you want to drive a 1987 Chevy, or do you want to drive a brand-new Mercedes-Benz? Now, see, I don't think anybody, in fact, I know for a fact, nobody would prefer to drive a 1987 Chevy when they could have a brand-new. There's nobody on the planet that would prefer that. Okay? Now, the question is, the only problem with that would exist is, do you feel like you have the means to drive that brand-new Mercedes? That's where it gets a little hairy. That's where the goodbye game becomes applicable. Because at that point, when you start doubting not only yourself and what you bring to the table, you also start doubting God and his ability to bless you. That's when you start looking at statistics. that's when you start saying, well, you know, I live in Alabama somewhere, or I live in, you know, Texas, or I think it's just where I live. There ain't no men where I live. It's not about where you live. It's about what kind of God you have, you know, and what kind of relationship you have with God, you know, as far as the trust and as far as the faith goes, you know. Was that ever an issue for you, actually doubting yourself and as well as doubting God's ability to bless you with love?
Yes. And it was to the point where I was trying to take matters into my own hands. I felt like, you know, I felt like God wasn't moving fast enough for me. So I said, you know, I'm just going to do it by myself. You know, if I am going to get love, it's going to be because of me, not because of God. And so I would go on the dating sites. I joined multiple dating sites. I, you know, went on interviews out of state because I thought, well, I had to move to be found by someone. And so, yeah, I did a lot of those things because of the lack of faith. So I can relate to that.
Yeah, it's you know, I'll tell y'all something. And you're right. I've noticed a lot of that, especially in 2014, a lot of, you know, online dating, online matchmaking, you know, people doing things to, you know, to think outside the box as far as, you know, trying to, you know, make it happen on their own, you know, trying to increase their odds or their chances of finding love. And, you know, and I'll tell y'all something, there's absolutely nothing you can do to increase your chances of finding love as long as, you know, you're still hanging on or affected by past hurt, past pain, resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness. These are all things that the Word speaks, you know, speaks about in great detail. You know, so it's just about letting those things go, because you got to ask yourself. A lot of women are thinking, you know, this is what I want, you know, in a relationship, but very few women ever really stop and think, what do these men want? What kind of relationship do they want? What kind of woman do they want? They want a woman who is emotionally available. They want a woman who is free to love unconditionally, free to love without an emotional wall up, without any baggage, without any heartache, heartbreak. You know, if you're someone you need to forgive, you've got to do that prior to dating. A lot of women are looking for a man to take their mind off of that guy that they just got the text from just now. Some of y'all are listening to this show right now, and if you go to text messages, go to your phone, click on text message, pick up that Galaxy S3, that iPhone, you know, that Note 2, whatever it is you got, whatever you're looking at, and you click on text messages, right? You open it up and scroll down. We talked about the phone calls, you know, the other night. But when you see those text messages, hey, what's up? Oh, you just ignoring me? You just going to ignore me? You can't pick up the phone? You can't call nobody back? Oh, okay. Like all that back and forth, all that ignoring is only going to make it worse, because the reality is you know that you're going to pick up that phone at some point. You know how it goes, Courtney. It's like I even had that myself. There was one woman in particular. I literally called her like back to back to back to back to back. But it wasn't like I was just doing it for fun. Like I was sitting up there playing Madden, just, you know, clicking redial. She was ignoring. And by the end of that game, after I was just calling back to back, guess what? She picked up the phone, right? Why do you keep calling me? And I wasn't trying to argue. I thought I told you stop calling me. You don't see I'm ignoring? Yeah, I see you ignoring. Why you ignoring me? And I don't want to talk to you. Why not? Because what? Why are you tripping? You know, you all mad. See, you play too much. Da-da-da-da. Next thing you know, I'm over there. All right, well, look, I'm like, yo, I'm going to finish this Madden game, and I'll be over there in a little bit. Whatever, don't come over here. Don't come over here. Okay, I won't come over. Knock, knock, knock. I thought I told you guys to come over. Meanwhile, just got out the shower, hair done, smelling all nice. Like, what you mean? You don't look too surprised to see me. I thought that you didn't want me to come over. See, and that's the goodbye game. You say goodbye, but these men know that you don't mean it. A lot of women think ignoring is going to do the trick. No, ignoring doesn't do the trick. It's when we pick up that phone and we actually hear in your voice the absence of emotion. See, a lot of women, they think that hanging up or yelling or cussing us out is going to get the point across, but that just reinvigorates us. You see what I'm saying? That just gives us more, because we're competitive. So when we see the passion, whether it's anger, whether it's romance, whether it's whatever it is, passion is passion. So as soon as we see it, then we capitalize on it, we jump on it, and then there's nothing you can say that will convince us that you don't want to be seen us, or you don't want to see us or spend time with us. You ever make that mistake?
Yes, because I used to think that showing emotions would, get the guy to make him go away. And then, I mean, it makes sense why, I wasn't able to shake him. He thought it was funny. It was like, oh, wow, if I can get her riled up, she must still care.
Right. Yeah, and she does, because that's the whole thing. If you can get somebody riled up, if a man can get you riled up, then that means there's something still there. That's how you want to think like a man. That's the thought process that we go through. So just keep that in mind the next time you're cussing somebody out, the next time, you're yelling at him or you're even ignoring. So many women think that ignoring a man will have a positive result. Ignoring is literally, you'd be better off just answering the phone and being like, yo, what do you want? I thought I told you not to call me. You'd be better off doing that than ignoring him. No man who wants to get in contact with a woman is going to get ignored and then just say, oh, okay, she ignored me, so let me just move on to the next. No, it's the opposite. You ignore us, we're going to find another way. That's just how we are. Men are competitors. If we lose at a game, we're going to reset the game. We're going to start playing it again. We don't just throw the game away. You know what I mean? So you got to, and that's, a lot of women will say, what do you mean by that? I mean, I don't see the analogy. It's the video games and love. Well, one, it's not love, and two, you're being viewed as a game, which kind of leads me to my next point of, in regards to the goodbye game, it's important to know exactly what category you're being put in to begin with. See, a lot of women have been playing the goodbye game for, 3, 4 years, 5 years, 7 months, whatever it is, but you're not really seeing that, you were always being viewed as expendable. Well, you say, how do I know that? Well, you're expendable because if a man is still out there in the club, if it's a non-committal situation, one woman even asked me the other night, she said, Why would a man stay for 5 years if he didn't really love me? Well, I said, what you got to realize, ladies, is we as men are very calculating and in many cases very opportunistic. So if there's a situation where you're dealing with someone, but he's not committing, but he's not actively taking steps to marry you, you've got to really ask yourself, how is he benefiting? What is he benefiting from? Whether it's sexually, financially, convenience, there's always some level of benefit that he's going to get from being with you. Once the benefit stops, then that's when he moves on. I mean, think about it. It makes perfect sense. If you cut off the sex, if you cut off the money, if you cut off the acting like you're married when you're really not, that whole, even the emotional support that a lot of you women give him for whatever he's going through, thinking that that will eventually morph into something significant, you got to cut all that off. You cut that off, and that's when he cuts you off. And that's okay. A lot of women, they say, well, I don't want, that pride. When we hear this, when we talk about the lyrics to the song, a lot of women, they let that pride get in the way. So, I put in, like Angela Bassett in Waiting to Exhale. She said, I put in, 15 years, 16 years. I'm not just walking away. I'm not just going to take that L. Well, yes, you are. You have no choice. You're either going to do it now, you're either going to walk away with your head held high and your dignity intact, or you're going to walk away being broken, bitter, disgruntled. But one way or another, you're going to walk away. It's just a matter of how you're going to walk away. And that's what I always tell women. Don't allow a man to cause you to take you out of your comfort zone, you know, knock you off your square, cause you to look like somebody out here in the street who you know you would never want to be, you know, viewed as. You ever had a man, like, take you totally outside of your character and even lose your Christianity?
Yes. I mean, are we talking about, I mean, I could give so many examples, like, just really, I felt like a different person. You know, I felt like, you know, I wasn't myself, whether that meant just me acting out because I knew it wasn't going anywhere, busting windows out of cars, or just, you know, changing into a, you know that story, and everybody who's listening knows that story. But, and even just, it just really made me feel like I wasn't myself. Even my appearance changed. It was like I just didn't even keep myself up because I was just totally, I just was so distraught. And I allowed that person to, you know, take me out of my element and take me, you know, take me away from who I was. So I can relate to that.
Right. You know, and that's what it is. You know, definitely, in fact, Courtney and I, we did, I know, I remember it was a classic Keeping It Real Fridays from back in the day where we talked about Keisha Cole's song. What was that? What was the name of that song we talked about, Courtney? Remember
Trust
what it was
and
called?
Believe.
Yeah,
Trust
oh.
And Believe.
Oh, dang. You remember that show.
No, wait a minute.
You remember that show like it was no problem. You said, Trust and Believe. Mm-hmm. Shoot. Trust and Believe. All right, you got that on number one on the iPod. That's right, the top of the playlist. Got that thing on repeat. Don't play no games. Courtney be jamming to that, man. No, but yeah, Trust and Believe, man. Me and Courtney killed that show. You know, matter of fact, I'm about to pull that up and post it in the, you know, in the group a little bit later. But yeah, Trust and Believe, where you if you saw the video. You saw, you know, really the whole point of the show was how to avoid a man taking you to that crazy place. You know what I mean? Like, you know, a lot of women say, well, he made me crazy. No. A man can't make a woman crazy. Either you're crazy or you're not. Either you're a psycho or you're not. I can't make you do that. You know, and that's something that's in you. And that's what that show was all about. So, yeah, definitely check that out. If you missed the archives, just Google Trust and Believe on the, you know, on the Dana and Tolbert show, and it should come right up for you. But I will post that in the group for you guys a little bit later on, man. Trust and Believe, man. Courtney, what was it though? I mean, you know, help the ladies, you know, walk us through it. Like what was it that caused you to, you know, go to that other place? Was it the sex? Was it, I mean, what was it?
I can't even say it was the sex. I just think because I had invested so many years, funny because it was just a non-committal situation, but I had just put so much into it emotionally. And I guess, I mean, physically, I guess that was a part of it, but I just was mad. I can't even explain it. I was like a different person, and I just wanted to do something that in my mind would really make him hurt as much as I did, which was impossible. But I thought at the time if I did something, you know, then he would feel sorry about it. And it was actually just one last attempt to get, you know, an apology so I can get an excuse to continue to have sex with him. It was just for attention.
Wow, that's crazy. I just posted that in the Friends of the Dana and Tolbert show. Yeah, definitely check that out, man. When y'all are up, you know, before y'all go into that. No, I'm just messing with you. I won't even go there. But no, seriously, check out this show, man. Check out that particular episode. Definitely was a good one. What else? But yeah, so definitely understanding what category you're even put into is important from the beginning. Another thing that I wanted to talk to y'all about is. You know, we did a show a couple months ago entitled The Ring Don't Mean a Thing. And, you know, just as far as the goodbye game, the ring is a very, in many cases, a strategic move. And it's kind of like spades. You know, like you only use that big joker when you absolutely have to. I mean, you don't want to use it. You want to save that till the very, very end of the game and just throw it down when it's just a wrap. And you know what I'm saying? But, you know, and that's how men are when they're dealing with a woman who they know that they're not going to be with, but they want to keep around for a certain period of time for a particular reason. And so that ring is like that big joker. You know, they only will put, they'll use that as the big gun. You know, when they feel like all else has failed, when they feel like the nagging is no longer nagging and it's actually an ultimatum and they absolutely have to do it or they know for a fact that you're gone. Now, most women never get to that point because they never, you know, the BS of the man is such that, you know, they never are able to just walk away and have that man believing that they're ever truly in jeopardy, you know. And so, but, you know, in you know, a few cases, there will be instances where, you know, it's been 3 years, it's been 5 years, and the only thing that's going to get her to pick up that phone, the only thing that'll get you guys back to how, he wants you is him popping up with that ring. Now, that's not to say that the ring has to be something nice, something exquisite, you know, the 3 C's, color, cut, clarity, you know, none of those things are applicable. I mean, the color is looking like a rainbow. The cloudiness is look like, you know, a rainy day outside on that thing, you know, and the cut is just, you know, non-existent, you know, but none of that stuff matters. You're looking at that thing like, oh, my gosh, it's a ring. I look at some of these rings. And this is, see, a lot of, you know, really listen to that show if you guys missed it because we really went into detail about, you know, the mentality, the thought process behind it. So a lot of excuses being made for these piss-poor examples of engagement rings out here. Now, I'm not saying that you should be the type of woman who's a gold digger, and a lot of women say, well, what if he can't afford it? No, it's not about what if he can't afford it. It's about the fact that he can afford it, but he doesn't want to afford it, and he doesn't view you as being worthy of him affording it. Because that's really what's going on out here. I mean, you look at, you know, these men got these PlayStation 3s, they got these Jordans, you know, they got all this stuff, these cars, these rims. But when it comes to that ring, he got your ring out the bubblegum machine. Your ring came from the bottom of the Cracker Jack box. You know what I'm saying? It's like, whoa, what the heck? But y'all still, you know, rock that thing and, you know, what you laughing for, Courtney? You didn't even know what color clarity meant. So funny. What you laughing at?
Clearly I didn't. You're like the ring connoisseur over there, so I'm just listening.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's really what it is. You know, and so a lot of times women, they get caught up in thinking that, okay, yeah, it's a ring. Great. I don't have to be single. That's their confirmation. That's their validation for staying for 5 years, for 4 years, for 7 years. But those are the types of things that, you know, really, unfortunately, don't mean anything. A ring doesn't mean a thing if it's not accompanied with love and commitment and God's blessing. A lot of women say, oh, you know, they'll pray about something, pray. Oh, yeah, I got a ring. Great. But he still doesn't want to be with you. That's why we have the goodbye game. Courtney, that particular situation that we were talking about with you when you were Spider-Man climbing through windows, you know, all of those things being said, if he would have popped up with that ring, what would have happened?
Yeah, probably would have went back.
Right.
Yeah, I would have. I don't even think I would have really thought much about it. I probably just would have been happy to have a ring. And then, yeah, I would have went back to it. And just hope for the best.
Right. Somebody in the group said, rings from Forever 21 look better than somebody. That's really what it is. Stop making excuses for these rings. Stop it. Stop making excuses for your ring. And this is it is what it is, guys. Because rings, I mean, see, I think, you know, I've found that most women really don't do research, like independent research on rings just, you know, when they're single. But, you know, you really got to look at rings, you know, in today's society, the jewelry industry as a whole. I mean, you look at, like here in Philly, there's a place called Jewelers Row where there's, it's downtown Philly, where there are at least, I mean, there are dozens. That's why it's called Jewelers Row, because there's like, it's like at least three blocks, maybe like four blocks straight of nothing but jewelry stores, and they all have engagement rings. So you can get your, you know, your expensive rings, your cheap rings, your, you know, your nice rings, your middle of the range types of rings. So, I mean, you go to these places, I mean, you're going to get a good deal. Now, if you decide to go to, you know, K Jewelers, well, you know, you're not going to talk them down but so much. But I'm saying if you, my point is you can get a nice ring, a nice 2-carat, 3-carat ring for a relatively decent price. You don't, I mean, and, you know, I'm not going to sit here and lie to y'all. Don't think your ring actually cost $20,000, ladies. Don't think that it costs like $10,000 in most cases. Don't even think that it costs $5,000 in most cases, to be real with y'all. You know, now that's not to say that it can't appraise for that much, but I know some of y'all walking around with stolen engagement rings, just to be real with y'all. You know what I'm saying? Your man got the hook. I mean, it is, hey, I'm not hating. A diamond is a diamond. I don't care where you get it from, but just know what it is. But if that ring is not at least, I'm saying this with all sincerity, and the fellas know what I'm saying. The ladies will make excuses, but the fellas know what I'm saying. I don't care what his financial situation is. I don't care what's going on. 90% of the time, if that man and when that man actually loves you and really wants to be with you, okay, if it's not that big joker, but it's actually, you know, the ring is actually symbolic of how he feels about you and indicative of how he feels about you, that ring is going to be looking like something nice. That ring is going to turn some heads. That ring is going to impress your girlfriends. If it doesn't, and I'm nobody. I'm just a regular guy. But you know what I'm saying? I do think that, you know, I've been around the block. I bought two rings. You understand that? In my life. And I'm just being honest with you. 90% of the time when that ring looks like it came out the Cracker Jack box, that relationship is not going anywhere. That is not, half the time y'all won't even make it to the, to the altar, you know, and if you do, you know, better get Judge Judy on speed dial, or Judge Maybelline, I should say, divorce court. That's where that's headed. So I'm just saying, do yourselves a favor, because it's a lot easier to break up than it is to get a divorce, okay? It's a lot easier to just go your separate ways than it is to have to try to figure out custody and have to go through the child support courts and try to figure out, you know, living arrangements and, you know, I mean, all that stuff. You know, don't play the goodbye game. Don't make a game out of it. Just, you know, do what you need to do so you can be blessed with love the first time around. Okay? Any thoughts on that before we keep it moving?
No. No. Like you said it all.
I mean, let me ask you, Courtney. I mean, I know it's been a couple months since we last discussed. I know you said you weren't really into rings, but since then, have you given any thoughts to the kind of ring that you'd like to see on your finger?
A little bit. A little bit. I've been looking.
Come on,
so
Courtney. Stop being shy.
Well, because, I haven't done extensive research. I looked at, like, the princess cut. You know, I haven't done, like, a whole lot, but I did see some that I like.
So what do you want? What's your ideal ring? What you looking for?
I'm looking for a 2-carat princess cut. I want it to be white gold. I think that's nice. And, yeah, I haven't really, like, decided on, like, the design of it, but too much.
2 carats, white gold, princess cut. Okay, that's a nice little ring right there. Let me tell y'all something. See, that's a nice ring. And I'm just telling y'all, that's not a 2-carat. I mean, we're not talking about some crap, you know, from the Real Housewives of Atlanta or, you know, these weirdos out here, Kobe Bryant spending $4 million on a ring. We're not talking nothing crazy like that. You don't have to do that. I mean, what Courtney just described for the average woman, let me just say this. I mean, what Courtney just described, it would be better than 90% of the engagement rings and wedding bands out here in the black community. Okay, be clear about that. I look at rings. Trust me. I am, as Courtney said, a ring connoisseur. 90% of rings out here aren't even 2 carats. Trust me on that, okay? Trust me on that. 90% of rings that I've seen are like maybe 1.5, maybe total. You understand? Like if you have, like you, I'll break it down for you all a little bit. Like if you have a single, what do you call it? Like the center stone. If normally that'll be a carat, and then the other, you know, diamonds will make up the two. That's a nice ring. But if you have a 2-carat center stone, like just it's a solitaire is what I was looking for. That's a huge ring, okay? Just so you know, like that's a very big ring. That's gonna turn some heads ridiculously. But you don't. But most times you don't see that. That's why you see like a lot of the. You might have 1.5 up front and the rest along the side. I mean that's nice. That's cool. 2 carats. But I'm just saying. Most of y'all don't even see that. You don't see people with really black women with huge rings, do you? Courtney, you know you don't.
No, I don't.
Right. In fact, if you see a ring that appears, if you look at it, like, wow, that's kind of a small ring, that means that the center stone is most likely like 0.5 carat, maybe 1 carat, and it's like some other crap on the side. You're talking about a total of like 1.5. If that, those are cheap rings. Okay, and again, I'm just really emphasizing because I want to be real about it. I don't want to make excuses. And I'm not, this is no disrespect. I mean, you can afford what you can afford. But fellas, you know you can do better. Ladies, you know he could have, you look at his wardrobe is better. His car is more than that. He put more in his system in his car than he did on your ring. That is an embarrassment, and is indicative of how that man feels about you and the direction that your marriage is going. If his car is more valuable than your ring, that's probably an issue. Okay, I mean I'm just saying, it shows you where his priorities are. If you are not his priority, then that man doesn't want to be with you. And we got to stop making excuses for these bastards out here. Over the next few days, I'll probably rebroadcast that show we did prior to the new year, how to avoid dealing with a low-down, dirty bastard in 2014. I mean, a lot of y'all missed that show. So, you know, a lot of y'all heard it too, but some of y'all missed it. And, I mean, I can't imagine what could be a more informative show than that because some of y'all are dealing with some bastards. Somebody says, you know, well, how do you know, Daydon? You know, what if you, I get a lot of questions, what if you, you know, you're dealing with somebody and, you know, y'all break up, but then, you know, y'all reconnect, you know, years later, and then, you know, is it possible that that works out? Well, that's a good question. But a better question would be, that's a good question from a female standpoint, you know, a female point of view. It's like, okay, well, yeah, that could happen. But then you've got to look at it from a male standpoint, and when you really understand how we operate as men, you're going to understand that if that man truly wanted you and when a man truly wants you, it's not going to be a matter of, oh, yeah, we lost touch for 10 years, we reconnected. No, he's not going to let you out of his sight. He's not going to let you out of his sight for 1 minute, let alone a year, let alone for 2 years or 5 years. Oh, yeah, we moved away, and he looked me up. We reconnected on Facebook. Nah, he came across your page randomly and was like, oh, okay. He wasn't thinking about you. When a man is thinking about a woman, he goes after that woman. If you haven't heard from that man, if you dealt with him, but then you lost touch with him, well, that means he was out there living life looking for love. He wasn't thinking about you. Trust me, when that man, you know, when a man sees a future with you, you're always going to be on his radar. He's always going to be in touch with you. He's always going to be trying to make you his wife. If for whatever reason that's not happening, it's because he doesn't want to be with you. What are your thoughts on that?
I agree. I think a lot of women, they don't want to come to the realization that, you know, in those situations where they lose touch and they hook back up, you know, that it's really because that woman was his last resort. It was kind of like, you know, it was convenient. But, you know, as women will look at it, like, oh, well, this is true love because, you know, if you love something, let it go. And I hate that phrase. And then when it comes back to you, it's yours or whatever. You know which phrase I'm talking about. But we'll hold on to that. And we'll think, oh, this must be true love because, you know, he came back to me. And then years down the line, when it doesn't work out, we're wondering, well, why?
Right. That's absolutely ridiculous. I don't know who came up with that. I mean, I don't know, like, where that came from, but it's just absolutely ridiculous. Because when a man loves you, when a man wants to be with you, he's not going to, you know, let you go and then hope that it just comes back. But more importantly, that's not how God operates. Where in the Bible does God become some type of magician? You know, oh, it left, but let's just make it. No, he doesn't do that. He doesn't play those types of games. He's not a God of confusion or doubt or uncertainty. So if you have to, like, you know, question, that's just not what it looks like. That's not what true love looks like. That's not what the success stories look like. Now, I'm not saying that you can't stay with somebody for years and years and years and live even what would appear to most as being a happy marriage. But, again, you got to look at so many men out here who are unhappy, who are cheating, who are, you know, doing other things that you don't even know about specifically because you weren't the woman that he wanted to be with to begin with. And that's what's most important. Don't be that woman who a man says, oh, what the heck, I'm just going to be with her because I can't find anybody else. She's a good girl. I know she ain't out there. Yeah, I really don't want to be with her, but the rest of these women out here are hoes, so I'm just going to go ahead and settle down and I'll just do my thing on the side. There are a lot of men who cheat out here. You know what I mean? I mean, like, really. There's really a lot of men out here who not only are married but are actively in the player stage. Like, I see it every day. I'm just like, yo, that's crazy. Like, these dudes out here smashing off hoes, like, having jump-offs and, you know, having whole separate lives and their wives and their girlfriends don't even know about it. You know, I'm not sitting up here trying to snitch on the guys, but, you know, I'm just saying. Like, it's crazy, you know, and the men don't even feel bad because they know that they almost look at it, they almost, funny thing is, they resent their wives for causing them to live that type of, you know, that type of double life. Really, they don't even want to be married, but because of society, because of, you know, you're nagging, say, okay, what the heck, let me just marry her. But they're really living an unhappy life, and it's just an all-around bad situation. So just, you know, take it upon yourselves to not even put yourselves into that situation. I want to go to the phone lines. I do see a couple calls on the line here. It's Keeping It Real Fridays here. We're talking about the goodbye game in a little bit, a few minutes. We're going to go ahead and actually listen to the song from Chrisette Michelle that, you know, that does a good job of really epitomizing what true empowerment is and just, you know, identifying when it's not, when there is no future and walking away from a bad situation. So definitely, you know, one of my favorite songs. But we'll take calls, 646-200-0366. Hit the number one on your keypads. And, yeah, I see a call here from the 845 area code. Welcome to the Data on Tolbert Show.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Yeah, calling about, you were talking about the things, and I was saying, what if the female doesn't even like wedding rings? I know many people who are married and don't have wedding rings. Not everybody believes in wedding rings.
You're right. You're absolutely right. So then, there's no problem with that. But what I'm speaking of is the people who do believe in them. I'm talking about the women who actually want a nice ring. And I'm talking about the men who actually want to give the woman that they're seeing that they see a future with a nice ring. I'm talking about those. If you don't want a ring and you make a decision like, hey, we're just going to have, you know, we're not going to have rings, or we're just going to do something non-traditional. Hey, I'm all for that. But that's not what we're here. We're talking about the couples who actually want ring, the women who want rings, a nice ring, but the men who are too cheap to get it, and the men who don't even view their women as being valuable enough and worthy enough to have that nice ring. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I was about to say, because maybe I'm the weird one, because if I get a ring, I want my ring to be like my parents' ring. See, they have like plain, simple rings, but on the inside of it, it's engraved their wedding day and their initials. There's no big, fancy, nothing. I would want something plain and simple like that, because I don't really like rings. So.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thanks for calling. Let everybody know where you're calling them from.
I'm calling from Spring Valley, New York.
New York. Okay, cool. No, thanks for listening. I appreciate that. Now, she makes a really good point. And listen, I have no problem with that. And I probably should have said that. I have so many people. I know a lot of happily married. In fact, one of my good friends, he was. I was at the wedding. You know, I mean, they had something very non-traditional, kind of Afrocentric. I mean, it was beautiful. But see, what you got to realize is that's something that they agreed upon. See, what you got to realize out there is that you have to understand, when a man loves a woman, and I would encourage you all to go ahead and listen to that show that I did several years ago. This will be an all-time classic show that will just, I won't even have to redo it. You can just listen to it, you know, over and over again to understand what it looks like when a man loves a woman. Just Google that, when a man loves a woman, on the Dayton Tolbert show. It'll come right up for you. Probably find a picture of the Notebook up there, or, what's the other guy's name from the movie? Andy Garcia, Meg Ryan, probably see that flyer up there when you Google it. But when a man truly loves a woman, he's going to inquire. See, that's what you got to realize. He's not just going to talk about marriage, but you will talk about it. But the conversation is going to be followed with action. So if you're saying, hey, look, like Courtney, she said, hey, look, this is the type of ring I want. He's going to know that. He's going to know, okay, approximately, like, this is the type of ring that Courtney wants. So he's not going to come with no craziness and say, oh, hey, let's do something non-traditional. Let's do something different. Let me just give you this piece of wood to put around your finger, and we'll just call that our wedding band. He's not going to do that because he knows what Courtney actually wants. But this young woman here just said, hey, no, this is me. This is what I actually want. That would be romantic to me. That would be special to me. So he's going to know that. You see what I'm saying? What I found typically, I mean, the rings, that's more so something that, you know, for the woman. Like, I mean, like my wedding band is cool. I'll probably end up upgrading it in a couple of years, doing some, just because you know what I mean? But, I mean, it's cool. It's nothing major. Like, it's nice, but my wife is, that was more so for her, because, like, that's what she wanted, and that's what I wanted for her. And so I think a lot of times you have to, as the man, you got to just kind of just focus on what she wants and get it. That's what's going on out here. These men are not even factoring in what their woman wants because they don't care, and they're selfish bastards in most cases. I say that all the time. Most men out here are losers. Most men out here are liars, dogs, cheaters, and players. You know, most men, I mean, it's sad to say, and I'm not just talking about in the black community, but, I mean, that's just the nature of the, you know, the business. I mean, it's like, you know, 10% of the men out here are truly special. The Bible says 1 in 1,000 will be a true man of God. I mean, so, you know, it's all about you being that 10% of these other women out here, so you can be found by that, you know, by that true man of God. The Bible already says, who can find a virtuous woman? In fact, last night's show was a rebroadcast of my special on Proverbs 31. I really hope you guys aren't out there only listening in when we're live. I mean, that would just be ludicrous. That would just be ridiculous, especially if you're a new listener, especially if, you know, you haven't heard all, you know, a couple thousand shows that we've done over the last 8 to 10 years. You know, like, that would be a very big mistake, because sometimes I'll go deep in the crates and just pull out a classic episode from, like, you know, two years ago, 3 years ago. So don't assume that you've heard all the shows, because every show is going to pertain to you and, you know, in some manner. And, yeah, that's what it is. So, but no, good call, good question from the young woman. You guys are all welcome to call in with questions, comments, feedback, situations. We'll do a couple, advice questions and things like that a little bit later on. Friday nights are always good. I always wonder, like, what the heck is it about Fridays? You know, but I think it's, you know, the end of the week. You know, most people don't have to work, kind of kick their feet up. You know what I mean? They kind of don't have to worry about that alarm going off at 5:45 in the morning. You know how it goes, Courtney.
That's exactly how I wake up. That's funny you said that.
What,
5:45? Yeah. Well, yeah. I say I pause because I wake up like 6 times because I end up going back to sleep. But, well, yeah. But there's something about the end of the week. You know what? I didn't even ask for that commentary.
Man, no, but so that's how it goes a lot of times with these rings, which again, it all ties back into the goodbye game, because I'm telling you, a lot of women don't get it. They say, oh, we're working on something, we're trying to work things out, we're in counseling, we're doing this, we've been on again, off again. You really got to understand what the goodbye game means. If you say goodbye and he lets you go, and then you reconnect a week later, 2 weeks later, you've got to don't just let the devil cause you to block that out, you know, as far as what he's actually doing in that time that you're apart. That's time that he's actually, you know, having sex with other women. He's, you know, going on these dating sites, you know, creating profiles, you know, meeting other women, interacting with them. Dwayne Wade, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what happens. He didn't cheat because they were broken up. Well, yeah, exactly. Well, that's what do you think he was doing when they were broken up? When you truly, and this is, I can't wait. I mean, I shouldn't say it. I don't want to be like that, but that's exactly what it looks like. Gabrielle Union and Dwayne Wade have been playing the goodbye game. They're just now at a point where, okay, on again, off again. Now they're on again. It just so happens that she's pregnant. But, she's doing what a lot of women hope will, you know, will lead to marriage and long-term happiness. They think that a baby will solve your problems. Ladies, babies create problems if you're dealing with a man who doesn't really want to be with you. There's something in Dwayne Wade's mind. You have to understand. I get it. I see it so clearly. So many women, they don't get it. They're happy for them. They think, oh, my gosh, they have a great story. No, they do not have a great story. They do not have a great story. You can stop watching Being Mary Jane, trying to live vicariously through Gabrielle Union, because she, just like so many other women, are going to end up being 40 and single with about 2 kids before it's all over. You have to put yourself into the mind of Dwayne Wade. Something was going on in his mind when he let her walk out the door and they were broken up for 2 months. He wasn't thinking about her for 2 months. When a man loves a woman, he doesn't let her go. He doesn't let her go out into the wolves. Into the world. He doesn't throw her to the wolves. He holds her and he holds her tight. He holds her close. He says, you're mine and you're not going anywhere. If he does, then that means that he doesn't want to be with her. And he wants to see what else is out there. Now, after Dwayne Wade smashed off a couple of model chicks, you know, got a jump off pregnant, was hitting that raw, you know, I mean, he said, you know what? Yeah, I see what I had. Yeah, these hoes. You know, I'm getting a little bit older. I had my fun or this round of fun. Let me go ahead and settle down with wifey. Yes, that may be true, but that's not that's the reason for it. Was not genuine. You see what I'm saying? It wasn't that, oh, I love her, because if he loved her, he would have been with her and not let her go. He wouldn't have gotten a jump off pregnant if he truly wanted to be with her and was passionate about being with her. Do you see the difference between that, Courtney? A lot of women don't get that.
Yes, I see it clearly. I see it so clearly. It's so obvious. It really is, because, I mean, it's just anytime you just, you know, take that break from somebody, period. It wasn't serious. And it was a point, I shouldn't say I've been following this situation, but this is like nothing new. I think it's just maybe because it's coming to light, but that kind of stuff, I think, had been going on the whole time with them.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, of course. And, you know, when you really have to look at, you know, a woman's state of mind, a woman's emotional state, self-esteem issues, insecurity issues. She's spoken about early growing up, you know, her skin complexion was a reason, you know, part of the reason for some of her insecurities growing up. I mean, these are all things that stay with many women until they take active steps to, you know, to deal with them. You know, those types of insecurities, those types of lies being believed by the enemy, they don't just go away on their own. Okay, those are the types of things that you have to really be proactive with. And unfortunately, you know, you can tell she does have a significant, you know, I don't know if you want to call it a fear of being alone, but definitely there's some uncertainties and insecurities that have caused her to doubt herself. I mean, she's cool. Gabrielle Union is cool. I mean, she's a nice, pretty girl. I mean, nobody I've ever been, like, super excited about, oh, my gosh, Gabrielle Union, But, you know, I think that, you know, she, at this point, and it's really unfortunate because we're seeing so many women, black women, in fact, you know, idolizing people like her, you know, Olivia Pope. I mean, just really the wrong types of role models. Now, Courtney, I've never seen it. You guys know me. We do a lot of shows. I've never watched it. You know, what is the hype about this? I mean, I already know the hype. We know why. I mean, it should be obvious why it's so popular. But, I mean, are you a watcher of it? Have you seen it? Being married?
Being married? Yeah, I watch it. I do.
What is the premise of it? Why? I mean, what is the appeal? What is it?
I mean, I think it's the drama of it, and the fact that she's sleeping with a married man, and, you know, you get to follow her situation, and, you know, then it's a confrontation between her and the wife, and a lot of women, you know, can relate to that because they found themselves in situations like that, you know, where either they knew their man was cheating or, you know, they were the one that, you know, that was the jump off. So on the other side. So I think that's why so many people gravitate toward that. And they just feel like, okay, that's me or that's my life. And so maybe things will work out for me. Because, you know, they glamorize it on that show just like they do on Scandal. You know, they make it seem like her, Alan and the married guy, are going to live together happily ever after. I think he proposed on the last episode, so.
Wait.
Yeah, it's funny.
Hold on. Let me just get this straight. So you're saying a married man proposed to Gabrielle Union?
Yes. He proposed to her on the last episode, but then at the end of the episode, he wound up going back to his wife and sleeping with her and leaving Gabrielle by herself in the bed. So.
And that's what she gets. And that's what she gets. Let me explain. See, I've never, you know, like I said, I mean, I have very limited TV time. I mean, I'm a pretty busy guy. So, you know, if there is a show that I watch, like, on a regular basis, you better believe it's one of the best shows of all time. Like, I only make time for, you know, great shows. And, I mean, you know, I just don't have time for the BS, to be honest with you. I mean, I may end up watching it. I may watch a few shows just to, because it seems, just from what you guys are saying, you know, online and things like that, that there may be some teachable moments from the show. But, I mean, I didn't know what it was. I really have never even inquired about what it was about. You know, she's not a good actress. Gabrielle Union is just not one of my favorite actresses to me. She cannot act. Really, Daddy's Little Girls, my wife will tell you, that was, like, really one of the top five worst movies I've ever seen in my life. And even Deliver Us from Eva, like, just horrible movies all around. And she's just, like, a horrible actress. Like, I really can't stand her as an actress. But that just really was the main reason why I had no desire to watch it. But now that I see that she plays a whore in the movie, like, I may check it out because we need to talk about that. You know, we need to speak out against whorish behavior being glamorized in the black community. You know what? And that is the reason why we speak out against shows like Scandal. You know, like The Housewives and Love and Hip Hop. I mean, they were, you know, doing shows about, you know, these whores, you know, and black women idolizing prostitution and whorish behavior and just foolishness. That is not okay. I mean, you look back in a day, I mean, there used to be great shows out there, like, you know, Family Matters and, you know, Parenthood and, You know, I mean, just Cosby's and Different World. I mean, so many great shows. You know, I mean, stuff like this even makes you look back at the not-so-great shows and be like, wow, what happened to them? Like the All of Us and, you know, even L. Cool J shows. I mean, even these were, like, positive shows with positive, you know, people. I mean, now you just got straight hoes. You know what I mean? There were no shows like this. I mean, back in the day, this is how far we've fallen as a community. Back in the day, remember those protests, Courtney, when people actually used to protest about there not being any blacks in prominent roles on network TV? And, you know, people, here's the funny thing. I just thought this is actually crazy, that back when I was coming up, there were debates, there were protests about, wanting more African-American females in leading roles on network television. That's not the debate anymore. Now they're freaking mad that they want blacks on Saturday Night Live. They want black buffoons. They want black comedians. What? Forget black comedians. What you need black buffoons for? Black coons on a white show. You know, now that they got a black chick on there, what you think they're going to have her do? Now they got somebody to play Oprah. Now they got somebody to play Jennifer Hudson. Whoop-de-doo. More buffoonery and coonery. That's all they're going to do? Y'all, the people are worried about Saturday Night Live. Back when I was growing up, people worried about black people, you know, in leading roles, like Regina Taylor in I'll Fly Away. People wanted those types of roles. Now we want to protest about Saturday Night Live? Are you serious? Am I the only person that has a problem with that? I mean, do you not see the ridiculous nature of that? Like, nobody even cares. People have become content with Olivia Pope. People have become content with being Mary Jane, you know, as whores. There's not one black, I mean, show me a black actress on network television that's actually presenting herself in a positive manner. And I'm not saying there are none, but just name one. Can you name one off the top of your head? I'm trying in this just in this moment, and no one really jumps out at me. And that's a problem, because back in the day, you could name like 5 or 6 or maybe even 10 of them just without even trying.
Right, because I can't think of anybody.
I mean, that's a problem.
Not at all.
But we all know the Olivias, from Love and Hip Hop, Yandy, Tahiri, K. Michelle, those are the new, you know, role models for these black women. It's ridiculous. And then we wonder why the black community is jacked up. We wonder why the black family is jacked up. Because look at the role models. You know, entertainment. I mean, we're going to be entertained one way or another. There's always going to be entertainment. It's just, you know, and how we are being entertained as people is going to be indicative of the state of the black community. That's all. You know, it is. You know, people want to get mad. The Butler wasn't nominated for any awards. Mandela didn't get nominated for any awards. What you mad for? You didn't go see it. What you upset for? What you mean you didn't get it? How do you even know if it was a good movie or not? You ain't see it. I was saying, act like you saw it. People want to protest about something they didn't even see. Talking something about Idris Elba, he ain't get nominated. How do you know he should have been nominated? You ain't go see Mandela. It ain't out on DVD yet. It's on the hood DVD. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, obviously, Courtney, come on. You see the hypocrisy that exists in much of the community.
I do, and it's sickening. It is, it is, because those same people that argue about, you know, us as a people just not progressing, or, you know, or we're not being nominated for Oscars, we're not being recognized for this, but like you said, we don't go and support each other. We don't. You know, we don't see those movies like The Butler and 12 Years a Slave, but we go opening weekend every time Tyler Perry comes out with a movie, specifically the Madea movies, we're there all the time supporting that. It's like we find ourselves being passionate about the wrong thing.
Yeah,
and that's the problem. Like your arguments can't be justified if you don't even support your own people the right way. Not the buffoonery, but like the quality programming.
Right. I want to play this song, and I want to dissect the lyrics a little bit and talk about what it means for the black community. But I want you guys to set your calendars. Martin Luther King Day is Monday. We're going to be live on Monday to do our annual. You guys know every year we do, and we've done so at least the last 3 or 4 years, we do our annual State of the Black Community Address, where we literally discuss just what's going on, where we stand as a people, because I believe that that's what Dr. King would have wanted us to do. You know, that's what he wanted us to do more of when he was here. So the next live show you guys hear will actually be our annual Dr. King special on Monday night. But we're going to add a little twist of it. I've been talking a lot twist to it over the last couple of months, really ever since I saw 12 Years a Slave. I've made a point to, we said we're going to do a show on it, but incorporate 12 Years a Slave and being a black man in white America. So I'm actually, I say, wow, you know what? We're going to do the show. We got the Dr. King show coming up anyway, so why don't we just do that? And I think that would be a great way to honor Dr. King and, to talk about, where we stand as just from a male perspective, a black male perspective. So might have a couple of special guests here, which, with me on that show to just share their experiences, in corporate America, their experiences in the black community, just being a black man in white America. And we will do an in-depth analyzation of the movie 12 Years a Slave. And I found that there's so many different connections that can be made to the movie and what we saw, and what we as men lived through and, as being black men in America. So definitely check out Monday night show. In the meantime, we'll probably do a couple classic rebroadcasts. But, yeah, definitely be back live like we do every year for Monday's Dr. King special. You cool with that, Courtney? You excited about that?
Yes, I am. I can't wait.
Yeah, man, it's going to be a good show. We're just in 2014, we just want to take it to another level, just take radio to another level. I mean, we live in a society where, radio has just fallen off. Radio shows aren't even radio shows nowadays. They're elongated infomercials, that are influenced by the advertising dollars that keep these shows afloat. I speak from time to time about a lot of people don't understand how the radio, really how the entertainment industry works as a whole. You turn on your radio, they're saying and are forced to say exactly what the powers that be want them to say, whether it's buffoonery, whether it's, coming off as uneducated, illiterate, buffoons. That's what it's going to be for 90% of radio out here, because that's the agenda that's been put forth by these corporations that pay millions of dollars to these stations. So the station, the advertisers say, hey, look, this is the message I want to put forth. So the radio says, all right, well, we will get X, Y, and Z, quote unquote, radio personalities or DJs to help you get that message, and that push forth that agenda, and they'll do it through topics. They'll do it through celebrity guests, rappers, entertainers. It's all controlled. A lot of people don't understand that. They don't understand, like, when you listen to me, you're listening to me. When you turn on your radio, you're not listening to the host. You're listening to, what the host has been told to talk about when they want to talk about it. That's why you don't hear a whole bunch of commercials on this show, because I would then become a slave to the advertisements. Because you have to, if you want to keep that money coming in, you have to do and say what they want you to say. That's why a lot of people say, oh, they don't, why don't you go here? Why don't you go there? No, I can't go there because I want to be me. I don't want to be somebody else. I don't want Deborah Lee telling me what I can say and what I can't say, because she herself is being controlled. You know what I'm saying? All these other people are being controlled. The Power 99s, the whatever your station is out there in Chicago, wherever y'all, Hot 97 up there in New York, with the young woman who called in. These are all puppets. You know what I'm saying? They're all puppets. And that's what we got to get away from. We got to stand. We, you know, we'll talk more about that, you know, as 2014 goes on. But there's so much stuff that you know, that we do not know as a people about how the world works, how our community works, you know. And I want to say publicly, and this is controversial, I'm sure, or will be controversial, but I want to say publicly, I owe Jesse Jackson an apology. You know what I'm saying? Because publicly on this show a few years ago, we all got on him when I guess that microphone was live, and he said, you know, he was referring to Obama. He said he wants to cut his nuts off. You know, and I sat up here on this show, and I publicly criticized him for that, and I said that he was hating, and, you know, I wasn't even interested in hearing the real, you know, the reason, you know, what even made him say that. But, you know, 8 years later, I can appreciate that, and I can understand exactly why he said that. And if you guys aren't familiar with what he said, you know, on this faith-based SHIT, he said, I just want to cut his effing nuts off. You know, basically speaking about the double-mindedness and the inconsistencies and the hypocrisy that Obama puts forth when discussing spiritually based issues. He's a hypocrite, and he speaks out of both sides of his mouth. So I understand fully why Jesse Jackson said he wants to, I mean, you know, cut his, I might not have phrased him that way, but I now get it. And so, you know, I do apologize for that because, you know, I you know, most people just chalked it up to, you know, him hating, and it's not all about hating. You know, there's a lot of truth to a lot of criticism. I think we need to really start thinking outside of the box, you know, because there are a lot of false prophets. There are a lot of hypocrites. You know, there are a lot of double-minded individuals that the Bible does speak about that will draw people to them and away from the Word. And those are the people that, you know, unfortunately, will be known as the Antichrist that are here now. You know, in the world amongst us. So, you know, like I said, I don't want to get too deep into it, but, you know, somebody asked me about that, you know, over the last week. They said, you know, if people, shout out to the people who actually listen. Shout out to the people who listen to the show and remember stuff and something, you know, I encourage it. I encourage you. Call, if I say something, you know, if I said something from back in the day that you guys remember that might be different now, and I'm sure there are many things because I have different ways of thinking now than I did a few years ago, but, you know, let me know. Hit me up. Inbox me. Email me. And I'll talk about it. If I need to apologize, if I say something, you know, listen, I'm not, you know, I don't talk outside of both sides of my mouth. I keep it honest with y'all. But, yeah, I want to cut his nuts off too, man. Shoot. You know what I'm saying? I'm just being real with you, Courtney. You probably remember that show. You remember when you were listening when Obama won his first term, right?
Yes, I remember that. I do.
Yeah, man. He was like, man. Go ahead.
No. I was just going to say. I mean, I remember it now that you mentioned it, but I had actually forgotten about it that he had said that, and I also had forgotten. I had said he was a hater as well. I said the same thing. Oh, he's just hating, you know, because he actually won and. You know, Jesse Jackson tried to run and he didn't make it. I was saying all of that stuff. I'm just like everybody else. But now you get it. You know, it makes sense because you see the hypocrisy.
Yeah, man. He said, man, this Obama on this faith based. I'm gonna post it later. Yeah, he was mad as crap. He said, "Man, Obama on his faith base. Yeah, I just want to cut his nuts off." I was like, what the heck? Oh gosh. Oh, it's funny, man. It's funny, but no, it's real. I feel him. But anyway, let's go into this song. Because I do want to take some time tonight before we get out of here, and I want to listen to the lyrics. And, you know, this, like I said, this is one of the more empowering songs that I've heard. And you know, you just on a whole nother note, I mean, songs like this, you know, there's a reason why you don't see them, you know, or hear them being played on the radio, and Chrisette Michelle is not a superstar like other people. I mean, as talented as anybody, but, you know, when you are singing about something that is empowering, when you're singing about something that, you know, has the power to elevate black women, I mean, like, really empower, not that fake empowerment, like, I'm a survivor or independent, not that fake crap that's really designed to destroy black women, but when you're really talking about respecting yourself, you know, walking away from dead-end situations, I mean, that's when you kind of get blackballed and, you know, blacklisted in the industry, and, you know, it's unfortunate because there are a lot of talented artists like, you know, India Ari, Chrisette Michelle, who have not become passionate about putting forth a demonic and satanic agenda, like people like Alicia Keys, Beyonce, you know, Nicki Minaj, you know, like all those people, you know how they do. That's why you see them, you know, walking around with, you know, Baphomet, you know, designer shirts on, like Sierra, like, you know what I'm saying? That's how you become a superstar. But I respect women like Chrisette Michelle who have, you know, remain true to themselves, and you know, and unfortunately may have sacrificed superstardom for that, but you know, that's the choice that we all have to make at some point. You know what I mean? But yeah, this is Goodbye Game. So listen to the song. Well, you know how we do. We'll come back. We'll talk about the lyrics and see if we can help some women break some chains and get out of some of these dead-end toxic relationships. Listen up. Listen to these lyrics. Very important. Be right back. Thank you. All right, guys, that was Chrisette Michelle, Goodbye Game. Just, you know, Courtney was over there jamming. Come on, keep it real, Courtney. You was blasting it. You had those hands up. You was bobbing your head.
Yeah.
For real, Courtney. You was bobbing.
Just a
little bit. You know, yo, that song gets me hyped, man. I be cruising to that song, man. I be in the whip, man, driving down the street. Yo, man, yo, that's classic music right there, man. Seriously, you know, back in the day, man, we used to switch it up. A lot of y'all didn't know this. Y'all don't know nothing about this stuff. Back in the day when people actually, you know, the young dudes would be blasting their music in the cars. Well, we'd be down on South Street, which is a very popular hangout spot in Philly. At least it used to be. Now it's like gay town, like a whole bunch of, you know, gay guys be down there hanging out. But back in the day, that was a way that you would pick up women. And we would come down there with a nice whip, you know, top down or something, you know what I mean, tinted windows, whatever it was, and blasting not the hip-hop, not that crap, but we would throw on some Avant, you know. We would throw on some Maxwell, blasting the music. Women be like, whoa, what the heck is this? They would get the women hype. You know what I mean? They'd be like, oh, snap, they come on over to the car, listen, we'd be just cruising down the street, driving all slow. That's how you, what you know about that? If you were used to seeing the thugs blasting the DMX, but if you saw some nice, handsome men rocking some nice R&B, one of your favorite R&B songs in the whip, you would, you know, come on, they would have got your attention, right?
Yeah, that would have totally got my attention. That would have turned my head. Like to hear some Maxwell or even Kim. I like Kim. Like, I would have been like, whoa. Because I'm not used to that.
Oh, yeah, man. That's what it is, man. Listen, guys, I don't think you'll ever find a group of guys that were just, you know, smoother at what we did, you know, than me and the homies back in the day. I mean, we just, you know, it was all about thinking outside the box and just doing stuff. So, but yeah, that was that. So I guess my point is that, you know, with songs like that, that are positive, that are empowering, you look at, you know, a song like that, that speaks about respecting yourself and walking away and not allowing yourself to be used. Whereas you have an independent woman, you know, where interestingly enough, it's a song about making yourself a jump off. That's the craziest thing. She says, you know, only call you when I'm feeling lonely. I'll only call you, you know, when it's all done. Please get up and leave. You got to realize this is about a woman being used for sex. You know, so when you think of true empowering songs, it's not about something where you're making yourself a whore, you know, or you're allowing yourself to get smashed off on a Friday night. It's about when you're not allowing yourself to be used and taken advantage of and being naive and saying, hey, look, you know what? I respect myself and I'm not going to allow you to, you know, to have your way with me. Ladies, don't allow any man to have their way with you. You're better than that. You're beautiful. Everybody's beautiful in some way. The only women who are ugly are women who allow themselves to be hoes. Because, when we talk about, you know, in regards to how you're being viewed when you allow yourself to be used, it's not in a positive way. There's nothing beautiful about a hoe. There's nothing, not one thing. You know, I don't care what you look like. The most beautiful hoes are ugly. Wow, that's deep right there. The most beautiful hoes are ugly. You can't be beautiful and be a hoe. But a true woman of God, as we discussed last night when we took an in-depth look at Proverbs 31, that's a beautiful woman. Those are beautiful women. Take some calls real quick, and then we'll you know, break down this song, the Goodbye Game, 646-200-0366. Hit that number 1 on your keypad if you have any questions, comments, thoughts, or feedback. See a call from the 502 area code. Welcome to Keeping It Real Fridays.
Hi, this is Zine.
Oh, hi, how are you?
I'm doing good. I had a comment about something that you was talking about like a lot of things that's going on in the entertainment industry, and as far as it being something that's kind of corrupting the minds of every culture right now, I feel like, and it's like people are being programmed, I feel like, to accept certain things that years ago were not accepted in the world, basically. And I can relate to that. I'm actually a recording artist, and I had an experience where I was working with a producer, and they wanted me to make a certain kind of music that I didn't agree with. I'm a Christian woman, so I kind of got, like, dropped out of the situation because of it. And
what they want you to do? What kind of music?
They basically wanted me to make, like sexually aggressive music, and I'm more of a positive kind of person, female empowerment, things like that. And I have a younger sister and cousins that look up to me, and I kind of didn't want to put that message out there. So I was dropped out of the situation. And also, well, I was in Atlanta when the situation happened, and it was also like a situation where it was a couple of girls that was with me, and we were supposed to go to like a board meeting or something like that, and it turned out that it was more like a, I don't want to say this on the air. I don't know who's listening to me right now, and they're probably going to be a little bit shocked. But it was more like a sex orgy type of party. And I ended up leaving before I could see anything that was going on. I didn't want to be there. I was uncomfortable. And so it's just like it's a lot of things that happen behind closed doors that people aren't aware of, and I have a lot of family and friends, and they're always asking me, well, why did you leave that situation? You know, you could have been so much farther. And I'm like, well, I just didn't want to go down that road to get to that level of whatever was going on, or to just to get fame from it, because I actually want to represent myself in a different light than just being the sexy singer or the girl that's always taking her clothes off. And so it's like I would say a faux pas. You know, people just, they don't really know what's going on, but and then they judge you, and they feel like you're stupid because you should have, you know, just went along with it. And I'm just not with that. But another thing that I want to comment on was, when you were talking about how women are a lot of times being tricked, I guess that's what you were saying, tricked into believing certain quotes and things like that about relationships and things like that. I have friends that they're not Christians, and they don't believe the same things that, you know, I grew up on. And they judge me a lot of the time because they're like, well, how can you say that, you know, God does this and God does that when, you know, you know, I had a daughter, and I had a daughter out of wedlock. And they're like, well, you should just, you know, just throw all those beliefs out the window because you sinned against God. And I'm like, well, you always have a chance to turn your life around. And I've always been the type of person that, as long as I'm doing right and I'm praying and I'm, you know, doing what I'm supposed to do in the world to help other people out, I know that God is going to, you know, get me to where I need to go as far as love and relationships and my career and education and things like that. So, I really want to say thank you for your show, too. Thank you for your show. You send a good message.
No, you know what? Let me thank you. No, because this is what we need more of. We need more positive Christian women who are able to step out on faith and say, you know what, yes, I have these goals, dreams, and aspirations, but I am not going to conform to the world. I'm not going to conform to society. I'm not going to conform to the industry. So I applaud you, you know, for walking away and from allowing yourself to be removed from that, you know, particular situation that was clearly not of God. You'll be rewarded for that. Why don't you go ahead and let everybody know where you're calling in from?
Louisville, Kentucky.
Wow, Kentucky. Wow, man, it's great to hear just listeners all over the world, man. You know, Kentucky, You know, really all, I think there's never, I think we've literally had every state covered over the years. You know, we've had someone calling from, there's no state we haven't heard from. So it's great to just, Courtney, just, isn't that great though? Just hearing a young Christian woman of God standing on faith and sharing a testimony as far as, you know, trials, tribulations, but how she overcame them. Yeah, just hearing that, doesn't that inspire you?
Yes, it does. I loved, you know, her call and just her testimony. And, you know, I admire her just for not, you know, wavering from her faith and just doing the right thing, because she could have easily succumbed to the temptation just to, you know, achieve success. But the fact that she did not do that, that's commendable. It really is. And I'm just so... I don't know her personally, but I'm just so proud of her for what she's doing, and I just want to say, you know, keep up the good work, because you're definitely an inspiration.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I want to share a quick story just about the industry, and I was going to tell this story, and I kind of was talking to my wife about it when we were watching it, which kind of really pertains to what this young woman was saying about the industry and we not really knowing. You have no idea what goes on. I encourage you all to watch Eyes Wide Shut. You know, like really watch a lot of these movies. Stanley Kubrick was killed because of his portrayal and the realness of what he put in Eyes Wide Shut, as far as the symbolism, as far as the just the overall nature of the business. Like what you see in that movie, guys, is why he was killed. Like, and there's a lot more to it. Like, but really research, you know, him and that being his last film that he made, and you know the circumstances, you know, surrounding his death. That if you saw it, you know it. It really dealt with the orgies and you know, like the group type of, you know, sex and the mystery and like these, you know, places that you go to that are super secretive. That's what goes on in Hollywood, guys. That's what goes on in Hollywood. There's, I mean, the music industry, the movie industry, it's just one big sex fest. You know, that's what happens. You know, I know many people in the industry and people who are no longer in the industry. You know, a couple of them have been on this show telling what's going on in the industry. So, I mean, this is just another young woman who knows that. In fact, a buddy of mine told me, I won't put his name out there, and I won't even put the school out there, but a historically black university, 112 actually was the group. So I wasn't going to do, but it is what it is. They were down at this university, and my homie was down there at the time. He went to this school, and there was a tour bus, and it was 112, and he was like, look, there was a line after the concert, after the after party, outside the tour bus, and girls were just lined up trying to get in there. And the bouncer, even like the security dude, told them straight up, this is a college campus. And there was a line. He said, look, if you ain't trying to take your clothes off, just get out of line. They told them that. You know what I'm saying? And would you believe that these girls did not get out of line? They were waiting in line for an orgy. They told them, if you're not trying to take your clothes off, can you believe that? Is that not crazy? This is 112.
I believe that. I do.
Man, this is what goes on out here. But one thing that I'll tell you, I was watching the Golden Globes, right? And this is crazy. I'm probably one of, I honestly wouldn't be surprised if I'm like the only person outside of the people in the industry who actually caught this. This is crazy. And God showed it to me. I've been doing a lot of research lately on just different, you know, Hollywood things and entertainment and Satanism. And, you know, I've been doing that for a while, but just really looking at it from a different perspective. But I don't know if you guys are aware of a place called the Magic Castle. It's a very, very exclusive, I don't know what you want to call it, but they do magic shows, some of the world's top magicians. It's like a members-only establishment where you have to be a superstar, like a Tom Cruise or a Gwyneth Paltrow or, you know, Katy Perry, whoever. Like, you have to be on an A-list celebrity basically to go to this place. It's called the Magic Castle. If you guys in your own time do some research on that, and you'll see what I mean. That just Google the Magic Castle, and I'm watching the I forget the young woman. She won an award. I'll let y'all know. I'll post it in the group later. But she won an award, and she was talking about how weird you know, the entertainment industry. Or she was like, tonight is just a weird night. She's like, I've been experiencing a lot of weird things lately. And she just said, she threw out there, she was like, yeah, I mean, it was so weird. I took my kids to the Magic Castle, and the whole place, like, started laughing. And I'm just like, wait a minute. What's funny about that? You know what I'm saying? Why would all these A-list celebrities laugh about her saying, I took my kids to a magic show? Why would that be weird? Why would that be an inside joke? If you watched it, if you go, if you maybe if you taped it, and I'll tell you, I forget the exact actress's name, but she's a very well-known, it just escapes me right now. But what I'm saying to you is, if you Google the Magic Castle, and, you know, as far as what really goes on there, and they even did a special on the Entertainment Network a few weeks ago, actually, as well. If you Google what goes on there, it's known for, like, orgies and sex stuff and just super, super secretive things that nobody will ever know about. In fact, you can't even go there unless you're a member or you're invited by a member. So she says, I mean, just think about what she's saying. And this is what it's known for. This is the reputation that it has. It's like super freaky orgies and all types of weird types of magic and supernatural crap that goes on in the Magic Castle in Hollywood, A-list only celebrity. She says, it's so weird that I took my kids to the Magic Castle. The whole place laughs. Do you see how, now that's weird, Court. Do you see what's going on in Hollywood? That they would laugh, that they got that. Most people, if you didn't know that, you would hear that, and you wouldn't think anything's weird about that. Okay, you took your kids to a magic show. Whoop-de-doo. But to say that you took your kids to a magic show that's known for all types of freaky stuff and orgies, do you see what I'm saying, Courtney?
Yeah, I do. I actually saw that special about, I think it was on E! They were talking about that.
Oh, you saw it too, yeah.
I faced it. Yeah, I
DVR'd it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if anybody else saw that, you know, watch that. Because I had came across it, was interesting. I'd heard about it in the past, and I was just like, okay. But then when they did that special, I watched it, and then I did even more research on it afterwards. There's some really freaky stuff that goes on. So I say all that to say, you know, the young woman is 100% right. And there were, in fact, you know, I just posted something. That, you know, that the word says, you know, about that. You know what I'm saying? We really got to take a stand. Don't conform. The Bible says, let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy. And that's in Romans 13:13. So, and there are a number of passages that literally speak all throughout about, you know, about sex and being freaks and how we should conduct ourselves as believers, you know. And so I just wanted to share that with y'all. But, yeah, it's deep stuff out here, man. It's deeper than most. In fact, I was at, you know, I keep it real, man. We had some orgies back in the day. In my college, you know, I mean, you know, not necessarily. Well, yeah, I'm not even sugarcoat it, orgies. Orgies and, you know, sex fest, house parties that turn into sex fest. You know, I've been to, you know, the freaking Kappas know all about that stuff. And they did stuff like that, Q parties, you know. Alpha. I mean, this is just fraternity stuff, football parties that have turned into orgies. I mean, you know, that's just the nature of college. And you got to look at a lot of these, you know, these. You look back, you know, and then you fast forward. You look at the ages of a lot of these women now, a lot of these situations, these are women who were participating in that type of behavior back then, like that 112 party. We're talking about like 1997, 1998, homecoming. You know, those are now the 38-year-old women who are single with two kids, three kids. You know, that level of emotional unavailability has just stayed with them. You see what I'm saying? Like everything catches up to you at some point. You know, at some point you got to change. You can't be the same person. If you did it, you did it. But you still got to change at some point. Because the word, as the Bible says, is, you know, is everlasting. It's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It will never change. So it doesn't matter, you know, you just got to change. You got to give yourself to God. And as we talk about the goodbye game, and get back into the song and break down those lyrics, a lot of that type of behavior, the orgies, the drunkenness, that is what sets the stage for attracting those types of men who will view you in that type of manner and treat you in that type of way. Any regrets that you have from you know, those orgies? You know, I'm not saying you engaged in orgies, but you know what I mean. Like that stuff from back in the day that you, you know, might not necessarily be proud of.
Yeah. I mean, because I realized that, you know, I was treated that way. You know, I was treated like a whore because I was presenting myself as one. And so, you know, it made sense. Why things never materialized into what I wanted them to be, why it always stayed at that same level, you know, and never, you know, transpired, like, into anything serious. And I was so confused about it at the time. Like, well, what am I doing? Or, you know, why isn't he not taking me seriously? Or, you know, but it makes sense because of how I was being viewed.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's how it goes. I mean, you can't be... You know, you can't be viewed, because, you know, we talk about it. I mean, we don't like to say it all the time, but, I mean, the reality is, you know, either you're being viewed as a wife and a man's actions will treat you as such, or you're being viewed as a whore, you know. And, I mean, there are a lot of wives who are actually being viewed as that man's live-in hoe, you know. As crazy as that may seem, you may say, well, you know, why would you go through, you know, all of that just to play around? Well, it's because he never viewed you with respect to begin with. A lot of men will say, yeah, it's been 5 years, so what the heck, let me go get this Cracker Jack, you know, ring and put on her finger just to shut her up. That doesn't mean he doesn't still view you as his hoe or his jump off or his elongated friend with benefits, glorified friend with benefits. I mean, you know, let's look at the song, though. But, what the song says is it gives you a blueprint on literally how to walk away, you know. Tell me why I'm living, which is... Wow, I didn't even think about it from this perspective, but we got to even stop there for a second and dissect that. You guys know what I do. I'm a counselor, right? I've worked with, you know, literally hundreds of women. You'd be surprised how many of those women, hundreds in fact, unfortunately, have had suicidal thoughts as a result of dealing with these men or a particular man. And she says right here, I mean, who knows how she meant it, but... You know, I'm just going off of what it says here. Tell me why I'm living. Some days my work seems to be so in vain. I talk to you, you don't hear nothing I say. What's up with this game? Why am I so forgiving? But you see what I'm saying? Does that, I mean, to me, and you can maybe relate maybe from a female standpoint, Courtney, does that sound like she's maybe even questioning her overall existence?
Yes. That's what it sounds like. And that's what a lot of women can relate to, including myself. I've said on the show, you know, a lot of times that, you know, I had suicidal thoughts because of what a man did to me. It was like I just didn't want to live anymore. And I would always, and I would think of it as, well, maybe if I kill myself, maybe he'll feel bad about how he's treating me. Since he doesn't care right now, maybe he'll care when I end my life.
Yeah, that's deep. And, you know, again, guys, the word speaks in great detail about the intent, you know, of the enemy. Guys got to realize, man, you know, the devil is mad. He was pissed off when the devil threw him out of heaven. Excuse me, when God threw the devil out of heaven, right? I mean, so from that point on, he had a vendetta against God and God's people. And his goal was to destroy God and God's people. You know, the Bible says, you know, the devil roams around like a lion looking for people to devour. So you got to ask yourself, if Courtney's sitting here saying that she's had suicidal thoughts, if the lyrics in this song are saying, why am I even living? If I've personally counseled hundreds of women myself who have thought about killing themselves as a result of dealing with a particular man, you've got to ask yourself why, you know, look at the overall purpose of those men even being brought into your life to begin with. That's, you know, like I always tell you, they're either men sent from God to love you or men sent from the devil to destroy you. That's just one way that the enemy can destroy you, by actually having you physically kill yourself. But other times you may not, you know, be suicidal, you may not actually kill yourself, but you may just stay so long, you may just play the goodbye game, you know, for such a long period of time that it totally eradicates any chance that you'll have at finding love. And so the Bible says the wages of sin are death, death of dreams, the death of happiness, you know, or maybe even physical death. So you really got to just really be careful at you know, who you deal with and the amount of time that you deal with them, because the longer you stay, the worse it gets. Things never get better. Okay, trust me, they never get better. When you're dealing with someone other than the man that God has for you, things will never get better. They only get worse. Sometimes they'll get better before they get worse, but they always will get worse. And that's, you know, and eventually it'll destroy you. And, you know, and think about it. I mean, if you've invested the best years of your life, you know what I'm saying? A lot of times it's like you're just so pissed off. You're so, you know, just disenfranchised. It's like, you know, what the heck? Might as well just, like Courtney said, maybe that'll make him love me. Maybe that'll make him miss me. That'll hurt him. He'll feel bad because I killed myself because of what he did. But, ladies, the saddest thing about that is they don't care. That's the craziest thing about it. They really don't care. You know what I mean? Like, they actually really don't. And so you're the only person that loses when you allow a man to take you to that not-so-good place. But, yeah, she says, some days my work seems so in vain. I talk to you, don't hear nothing I say. No. He hears you, right? But he just doesn't care. And that's what I just said. He doesn't care. He hears everything you say. But a lot of times these men, they tune you out. They block you out. You know what I mean? And it's just at that point, you know, why are you even there? Courtney, you ever felt like that? You ever talk to a man or tell a man something? He just felt like he didn't hear anything, or, you know, had no idea what you were talking about?
Yeah, I felt like he just didn't care, or would, like, I would express my feelings about how he, you know, hurt my feelings or whatever. And it seemed like after that conversation, he would intentionally do those same things I said I had a problem with because he thought it was funny. Because he didn't care.
Right. That's pretty much how it goes. She says, what's up with this game? Why am I so forgiving? That's a good question. That's a good question. Spoke to a young woman the other day. She hit me up, you know, Daydon, I've been dealing with this guy for, you know, for like on and off for like 5 years, and, you know, I'm just sick of the lies. I'm sick of the cheating, even physically abuse me. You know, I said, okay, just, you know, what am I missing? Like, what, why are you there? Why have you been there for so long? Why are you so forgiving? And, you know, there's never an answer. There's never an intelligent answer that can be given, because it's not something that's logical. It's not something that makes sense, mainly because it's not of God. You can't come up with a logical answer for something that's of the enemy, because everyone knows the enemy is a liar. So there's no truth to that. So when you look at, you know, why am I so forgiving? That's a rhetorical question. Because, yeah, you can forgive someone, but it doesn't make any sense to forgive someone while you're still dealing with them. You can leave, you know, walk away, remove yourself from the situation, and then have, and, you know, gain some level of forgiveness so that you can move on with your life. But it doesn't make any sense to forgive them and then continue to be mistreated. Then you got to forgive them again. Well, that's not true forgiveness. You know, she says, why am I always checking for these fools? And that's why we do the shows that we do. How to avoid dealing with a jive turkey, men in the player stage, how to avoid dealing with no good, low-down, dirty bastards, the definition of a non-elite man. That was from a couple of years ago, but it's still there, still in the archives. If you don't know what a non-elite man, we talk about elite men, men of God, but if you don't know what, you know, a psycho is, or, you know, a non-elite man, you know, check out some of these archive shows. Go back a couple of years, you know. Why am I checking for these fools? Courtney, that's a good question. Maybe you could answer it. Why were you checking for those fools back in the day?
Because I just didn't think I could do any better. I think a part of me just was addicted to just any form of attention that they gave me. even if it was sexual attention, it was just, at least it was attention. And so it was like I was addicted to it. So it's like I would go after those guys that would give me just so much attention, but still not enough, and would have me craving for more. It was like, I don't know, it's like I just wanted their attention so badly, I just craved it. And like I said, all that goes back to just childhood and wanting that from my father. So that was my reason.
Yeah, I mean, that's you hit the nail on the head. I mean, that's pretty much usually how it goes. You know, craving for the love and attention from your father. When you have that, you really don't need to seek out the attention from a man. I mean, I cannot imagine. I mean, being a father is just the greatest thing. I share little stories with my daughter from time to time. I mean, the amount of attention that they crave and seek out at such a young age is absolutely just amazing. To be able to do what I do from a counseling standpoint, dealing with adults, but then to see a lot of the stuff that even my two-year-old daughter, she'll be three in July, it kind of is like, wow. Like, she'll just walk up and say, look, Daddy, look. And she'll, like, literally make me look. She won't stop until I actually stop what I'm doing and look. And I'm like, oh, wow. Like, I make sure I really let her know that, like, wow, whatever it is, that's great. Like, that's exciting. I'm happy, you know what I mean? Like, give her that attention that she is seeking. You know what I'm saying? Imagine starting from that age seeking attention but never getting it. See, a lot of people think that when you seek it but you don't get it, that you stop seeking it. No, it becomes this ongoing thing that many women seek all throughout their lives because they never got it at the age of two. And that sticks with them. And then when you don't have that, that causes pain, which really is where we get into the whole cycle of addiction. Anytime when you're not achieving, you're not getting something that you crave, well, that causes you to seek out things that will temporarily distract you from the pain associated with not having those things. For many people, that's sex, relationships, drugs, you know, gambling. I mean, it could be a number of different things. You know, which is look at the root cause, though, you know, of addiction. You know, yeah, it's deep. It's deep stuff. But, yeah, so why am I always checking for these fools? Why do I play? You know, she says, I'd rather play alone. I'm not playing the fool anymore. I don't need a game anymore. You can play the fool. I'm going to play my hero. You're going to be a zero. I mean, that's what we need more of. These are the songs that parents need to be instilling in their kids at young ages. Why? I mean, no disrespect, but I mean, I'm going to be honest. I don't know what kind of parent allows their child to listen to Beyonce and Nicki Minaj and Ciara and Chris Brown. I mean, this stuff that's solely about sex. What kind of parent are you? Do you allow your kids, I mean, if you don't even know what kind of music your kid is listening to, you are a bad parent. And it just occurred to me, we were about due for another special on parenting. We did one a couple of years ago, but yeah, you know, we got to revisit this stuff. We got to really talk about what it means to be a good parent. Because I just saw a parent today, you know, a single mom, what appeared to be a single mom, just lashing out at her kids, yelling, pissed off, cursing. On another one, I was in Target, young woman cursing. I hear somebody just loud cussing, talking to somebody on the phone. I turn around and look, and her kids are, like, right next to her. And to be honest with you, that's why I look, because I'm like, yo, I hope no kids are around her. And these are, like, her kids, like, right there. I'm like, you ghetto chick. You know what I'm saying? And we need to talk about this stuff. You know what I'm saying? We got to put the blame where it belongs. Stop blaming the white man. Stop blaming the public school system when these parents – I mean, have you ever noticed that you never hear people talking about black parents, but they'll be quick to talk about the public school system?
Yes, that is so true. That is so true. It's like we have a problem doing that self-reflection and looking at ourselves and what we can do better.
It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. I'd be looking at people like, yo, are you serious? How are you going to blame the school system for the failures of a parent? You know what I mean? Like, Stop. Don't worry about the public school system. Stop getting that weave every month and put your kids in private school, and you'll be cool. You know what I mean? Get rid of the Louboutin heels. You know, stop getting the, you know, all that fake crap. You can get not get your nails done. How much does it cost to get a manicure and pedicure every 2 weeks?
Like 30 for a manicure and probably 30 for pedicure.
Exactly.
On
right, on average. So that means it could range a little bit higher than that. Let's say, because I know some places are like 40. Let's say you're paying 40 and 40, let's say. Because you probably give them a tip, right?
Right, that's true.
You give them a tip, you know, so you'll say 40, 40. You get your hair done. My wife gets her hair done. I know it, she don't never spend less than 100. That's just, you know, but, you know, yeah, that's $200. Right there, just every 2 weeks for many women. Hair done every 2 weeks. I don't know too many women who go more than 2 weeks without getting their hair done. You know what I'm saying? Dropping that $100 or whatever. Maybe, most likely more. You know what I mean? If you talk, my wife doesn't wear no type of weave or no crap like that. But when you factor in the weaves and the wigs and all that, I mean, that's over $100. My wife, she's just getting a wash and a curl, keep it moving. That's $100. So I can only imagine what these ridiculous colors and weaves and wigs and all that crap. How you get? How you expect to get wifed up? You look like Bozo the Clown. I mean, you know, what kind of man was? I'm just saying. You got to look at these things. These things play a factor. And so what I'm saying is, if you're spending that type of money on yourself trying to get a man, that's money that can be invested in your kids. At that point, you won't have to complain about the public school system because you just saved yourself $300, $400 a month. That's tuition right there. You know what I'm saying? You cut out some other ridiculous things. That's another $100. You can find a good public school, private school, for $500 a month. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to, but many people don't do that because they feel like, oh no, I'm a single mom. I've got to put them in the public. No, you don't. Just cut out the weaves. Start rocking your hair natural. Go to the Dominicans, you know what I'm saying, instead of going to spend $300, they straighten your hair up real nice for you. Shoot. You ever mess with the Dominicans, Courtney?
No, I have not, but I've seen the results, and they do a good job.
Shoot, they'll take that hair, and I don't care what it looks like, they'll make that thing straight as crap. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, man. Yo, it's a lot of excuses out here. A lot of excuses. Stop making excuses and do right by your kids. You know, but yeah, she says, I like, this is one of my favorite parts. She says, hit the highway, call you a cab, give me back my keys. A lot of y'all women, you're getting real comfortable letting these men have keys to your crib, but more importantly, keys to your heart and keys to that non-existent chastity belt. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, you got to give me back my keys. Stop letting them into your crib. You letting these dudes move on up in there and take over your heart and, you know, mess around on your heart, living, cheating and stuff. You know what I mean? You got to chill with that. You know? She says, goodbye to baggage. You ain't bagging me. I'm going to smile while I wave goodbye, baby. She said, I'm going to smile when I wave. And that's one of the things I like about this song because this is not a song of, oh, woe is me, woe is me, I miss you, and da-da-da, I'm going to cry my eyes out. I mean, for what? Think about it. Why are you crying? Why are you grieving? Why are you getting ready to kill yourself? Why are you about to take these pills over a man who is out having sex with somebody else right now? Why would you even do that? So she says, I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to, she says, look, just give me back my keys. And I'm actually not going to cry, but I'm going to smile while I wave goodbye. She says, I can take the long road. A lot of times, and if you really break that down a little bit further, a lot of women don't want to take the long road. They want love now. They want the short-term gratification. So they settle for lust when they really want love. But she says, no, I'm going to take the long road. I'm going to do what I got to do. She says, I ain't got no pride. I ain't putting up a fight. Get out the boxing ring. It's TKO tonight. I like that. See, but this is deep right here. What she says, and this is a lot of women, they don't have pride. they will put up a fight. They will beg. They will nag. They will try to, you know, salvage their relationship or whatever you want to call it. She said, nah, man. She said, I ain't got no pride. I ain't putting up a fight. Go ahead. You got it. Just get out. Just go. You ever do that, Courtney? You ever find yourself being, you know, pushed to the side, but you put up a fight? You didn't go gracefully?
Yes. Yes. I can recall just almost begging. Oh, gosh. It was just a bad place. Like, I did not want to let go at all because I was scared.
What's that? What were you scared of?
I was scared of the unknown. So in my head, I was like, well, if I let him go, then what will I have? Who will I have? So I was always used to having someone around, you know, someone to fill that void. And if that person was gone, I didn't want to have to face it by myself. Because back then I didn't have a relationship with God, so I wasn't thinking, well, I always have God. I wasn't looking at it like that. I was looking at it as if I'll have no one. So.
Right. That's what it is. That's because when you think that you don't have anyone, you're kind of like you're forgetting about God. You know what I'm saying? You can't just say, well, I'll be alone. Like when you talk about having a fear of being alone, you're never really alone if you don't want to be. You know, if you accept God, and, you know, aside from that, I mean, obviously there's always going to be God there, but there's always going to be people. That's what the Each Woman group is for. You know, it's a support system for women who are all striving for the same thing, striving for emotional availability with a changed heart. You know, go ahead and surround yourself with positive women. You don't have to be alone. You know, there's no reason whatsoever to do that. There's always people. Even if you just seek out people, even if you just ask God to bless you with friends and ask God to bless you with sisters, he'll do that. You know, this show for many women has saved them from being somebody's hoe on a Friday night. I mean, I guarantee you, man, if you're not listening to this show on a Friday night, especially when we're live, what are you doing? Keep it real, probably up to no good, probably creeping, probably on the phone, probably doing something you shouldn't be doing. You know how it goes. You know what's up. In that bottom sock drawer, watching, you know, loving hip-hop, sipping on a little something, feeling some type of way, getting ready to allow somebody to come over. Meanwhile, we're here changing lives every night. This is where you need to be. If you're not here, probably somewhere else. But what else, though? She says, we play the game until we lose. Better to leave you before I do. Get ready, fire. You're a cheater. You're a quitter. You know, and I'm still a winner. This is all empowering stuff right here. You know, half the stuff, she just, you know what I mean, not even making sense. She just killing it, man. She just be, you know what I mean? Like, she just takes this song and just, you know, she's just a talented singer. You know what I mean? Really has a unique voice. And, you know, that's basically it. There's not even a whole lot, you know, to it. It's just an empowering song, a song of strength, a song of desire to achieve greatness. Any last thoughts, you know, before we get ready to wrap it up, Courtney? I know we stayed on a little bit longer than we planned on tonight. I just really wanted to come in for a little bit this evening. But, yeah, this is some deep stuff, just mainly because so many women can relate, you know. And you know, these men out here, they're just sitting back just like vultures waiting to swoop down and prey upon the women who are afraid to do this, who are afraid to walk away for the last time. And as a result, continue playing the goodbye game. Any last thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'll just say that, you know, to the women that are afraid, I mean, I can relate to that. I mean, I know how they feel, but you always have to think, you know, the longer that you stay in that situation, you are just going to prolong, you know, being found by the elite man that God has for you. Holding on to that man is not going to do anything but just make matters worse for you. So it's hard, but you have to just let go and let God. I mean, I hate to sound cliche, but it's so true and very applicable in these types of situations.
Oh yeah, definitely. That's it. That's definitely it, man. I mean, you gotta be appreciative of the blessings that you have. A lot of times, the enemy will cause you to think that nothing is going right, that you are a loser, that you're not a winner. But, you know, if you know, just always, whatever's going on in your life, just look at it from the perspective of, you know, there's always somebody else out there who would love to have your problems. You know, think about that. Whatever your problems are, there's somebody whose problems are 10 times worse, and if that's all you have, somebody else would love it. Let me tell y'all something, man. I have no. This is a testimony. I'm not even worried about that. I told y'all the other day my basement got flooded through something that was, like, not even remotely our fault. You know, that I was talking to some insurance guys, and they said, wow, we explained to them the whole situation. They were just like, that's crazy. They said that's like the equivalent of like you just getting struck by lightning. They were like, I've never even heard of any. Like, these are like people who've been in the insurance industry. Like, they said that's the way that it happened. It would be like when somebody winning the lottery, getting struck by lightning twice. That's how. But meanwhile, there's like $10,000 worth of damage. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, which is, and the funny thing is, it's not even a big deal to me. Like, it doesn't stress me out. It's just a minor inconvenience that ultimately is going to end up being a profit from, you know, when you factor in the insurance and all that other stuff. But $10,000 is $10,000 worth of damage. My point being is that, you see what I'm saying? There's somebody else out there who would love for that to be their only, you know, problem right now. There's somebody who doesn't even have a house to flood, a basement to flood, that would love that type of problem. Because it would mean that they don't have to sleep outside on the concrete tonight. You see what I'm saying? So I guess my point is, you got to always put things into perspective. You know, if you are in a relationship, you know, and you've been going back and forth, and you have the, you know, you're playing the goodbye game, you got to be thankful for that. You got to smile and say goodbye, because otherwise, there's somebody else out there who, unfortunately, found out that they're, quote unquote, boyfriend gave him HIV. You know what I'm saying? They found out that they're now pregnant. You have an opportunity to walk away before getting pregnant. You have an opportunity to not get HIV. Somebody else doesn't have that opportunity. And don't think for a second that while you're playing the goodbye game, that these men aren't doing a Dwayne Wade. And now they may not get the chick pregnant. You might not ever find out about it the way Gabby did. But don't you for a second think that when he took that break, when you guys are off, that he wasn't out there smashing somebody. That's what the goodbye game is really all about. Okay, nobody says, okay, let's just break up, we'll do our thing, and then he just sits at home and twiddles his thumbs. No, that's not how it goes. You might still be having contact with him, and you say, oh, what are you doing tonight? What you doing? Who you hanging out with? I'm chilling with the homies. Nah, he's not with the homies. You know what I mean? He's having sex with someone. And then when you guys do get back together, he's going to have sex with you too. That's the real goodbye game. You know about that, Courtney.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really how it works. And I think so many women, they just feel like, I'm not gonna say this happens all the time, but it seems like when people take a break, you know, the man is doing his own thing, and it seems like the woman is still being faithful, even though she's not even in a relationship with the guy anymore. So she's not sleeping with anyone else, and she's creating this fantasy in her head that he's doing the same thing, like that he's, you know, not sleeping with other people as well. And we have to get out of that, because that's not what's going on.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's basically what's going on out here. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of times people will, you know, glamorize it and, you know, trivialize it and, you know, make it seem like, oh, no, you know, we're just going to make things right and we're going to work on things. And, no, I mean, you can work on things all you want, you know, but if he doesn't really want to be with you, the behavior will stay the same, and all only thing that will change is his level of, you know, how careful he is as far as getting caught. Like Dwayne Wade, think about it. Yeah, he's got Gabby pregnant. You think he still ain't smashing off a couple, you know, a little something off on these Miami Heat road trips? Come on, man.
Right.
I mean, Gabby's home pregnant. I mean, seriously. Think about it. You know he is. So, I mean,
and she does,
yeah, y'all
too.
Could, huh?
I said, I'm sorry. I said, she does, too. She knows that as well.
Oh, yeah. She knows that. Y'all can't want to be Mary Jane if you want to, but, you know, the result will be the same. I don't even know where this show came from. Like, when did it come on? What season is this?
This is the first season. It's like on the, about to be the third episode. Because it started off as a movie.
Oh, okay. So it was a movie and they made it a show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to check it out, man. I'm going to check it out. See what all, I just like to know what stuff is about. Like, I feel uncomfortable not knowing certain things that people talk about. Like, that's one of the reasons main reasons I started watching Scandal, just so I could, you know, see what was up. But now I see, and it's like, wow, man, we got to talk about it. I suspect we may have to do a show at some point on being Mary Jane, just because, you know, it appears to be, you know, so many women are watching it, you know, looking up to this woman. I mean, that's, wow, having sex with a Mary, that's crazy. But, you know, it is what it is. Look at these shows. If you guys know, real quick, last thing I'm going to say, you're going to see more and more of this. I mean, we've seen, we touched on it earlier, but we're seeing a significant increase in these types of shows, you know, whorish black women, even movies, you know, whether it's Django, whether it's, I mean, we could go down the line, I mean, but, you know, Olivia Pope on Scandal, having sex with a married man, being Mary Jane, you look at shows like The Have and The Have-Nots. You know, these are all shows that show black women as whores. I mean, there's no other way to put it. And we're going to see more of it. You know, I can only imagine what type of stuff they're going to have these black women doing on Saturday Night Live as they, you know, get more. But I guess my point is, you know, we got to stand for something. We got to stand for positivity and respectability and stand for God. So, here's, you know, we'll get out of here. But look, thank you guys for listening in. If you can relate in any way, you're tired of playing the goodbye game, hit me up, call me, 855-55-DADON. We're doing our pre-Valentine's Day special. I didn't get a chance to mention earlier, Courtney and I both. So if you want to do all of our packages are 50% off to start the new year off. We did our free month of counseling to end the new year. To start the new year, we're doing 50% off all packages. So now's a great time to, you know, just take that. You know, if you're tired of being alone on Valentine's Day, you're probably going to be alone on this Valentine's Day, but that's okay. But that doesn't mean you have to be alone next Valentine's Day. We can start the process of getting you love now. You know what I'm saying? That's all. Don't worry about this year. That's just, you know, it is what it is. But who's to say that you don't have to be, you have to be alone, you know, Valentine's Day 2016, 2017. You got to start somewhere. And this is where it's at. So, look, guys, thank you for listening in. And, you know, we'll see you live. We'll be back tomorrow with some rebroadcasts tomorrow, Sunday. But we will be back live for the 12 Years a Slave special, Dr. Martin Luther King Day address, State of the Black Community. We'll be talking about being a black man in white America. And I promise you that's going to be an all-time classic show. So, look, thank you for listening. And I'll see you all next time. Peace.
Having it back then, I wasn't serious. Thinking can show my paper kept me curious. Chickens fucking everywhere, I didn't care. Thinking to myself that you always, always be here. And making love to you, lady. I will never be a pushing mama for you.
Never meant to let you down.